my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Always a pleasure to be with you here in good old Fort Myers, Florida. And Mike's along this afternoon. Mike?
Yes, I certainly am.
And you have a special guest along with you this afternoon.
Yes, I do.
And
yes,
who might that be?
That would be my lovely wife. She's happy to be here.
And lovely she is.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. And we have Steph's going to take care of correspondence with the Internet today and pass questions back and forth. If any of you listening on the Internet today have questions for us, don't be afraid to post them there on Democratic Underground. Get them right to us, and we'll answer your questions as best we can. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that, it's www.democraticunderground.com. Be glad to hear from you. And, how was your week this week?
It was okay, you know, getting back in the swing of things from the holidays.
Traveling from the holidays and all that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to do a little traveling myself a week from Monday, heading to Washington, D.C.
Really?
Yes. We have a conference scheduled with Democratic liberal talk show hosts, which are an endangered species, and there are going to be a few of us there, not very many. And we did this last year, and it was a blast. It really was. We're going to meet with some of the right's favorite people, Ted Kennedy and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Tom Daschle and a host of others. And
will they set an agenda for the next year and the upcoming events in 2004?
It's supposed to be about liberal radio and about them helping us establish liberal radio more so than it has been. As many of you may know, there is a national liberal radio show started this past week, and a gentleman by the name of Ed Schultz is on every afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m.
I heard him. Yes.
And he's carrying the football right now for the left. And we hope to have some more. There's a move afoot to get things going for some more hosts. And that's actually what this conference is going to be all about. So all of our radio friends, not all of them, but I've talked to some of our radio friends around the country that are going to be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I just know. We've got a lot to talk about this week, as usual. Many, many things going on in the political world. Never a shortage. I guess that's why we pick this subject. Number one, we're pretty interested in it.
Exactly, yes. And it never ceases to amaze.
No, there's something bizarre every week. I think probably the most amazing thing this week, although I guess I'm not surprised, that probably the most naked political move I have ever seen in my life.
Which one is that?
Mr. Bush wanting to grant immunity to all the folks here that are here illegally.
Oh, the immigration, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that may be something I would do, but I nearly fainted when I saw that he was going to do it, and then I took a few moments, and then I understood why.
Oh,
it's just a naked move for votes. I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy that they've got $131 million in the bank, which is more than all the other candidates put together by a triple. They're not happy with that. They're going to nail this thing down as good as they can and get every last vote wrung out of every precinct across America. So they're going after the Spanish vote. And plain and simple, that's all about. And a lot of his conservative friends are a bit miffed about it, really.
I've heard that. Yeah, they're not all that happy with the whole idea.
But they'll still vote for George W. Bush.
Of course they will.
I heard Mr. Hannity, Mr. Shrill, little wussy Hannity, on the radio talking about how he thinks this is a terrible thing that President Bush has done. But on the scales, he's done everything else that I love. I love the man. He's a great president, and he's done so wonderful. So I'll just have to disagree with him on this. That's what Mr. Hannity said.
Because they're being fair and balanced, and they can have disagreements, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, we got callers on the line already. Yeah.
That was quick.
Let's talk to Diane in North Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the program today.
Hello. Glad to hear you again.
Well,
I'm ditto on that. With it's just for votes, and I mean with the diebold election machines the way they are, now we've got the illegals going to be able to vote, and then the 250,000 other people they'll bring in—that's their relatives and everything. I mean, good God, you know, why are they even having an election this year?
Well, for show, of course.
You know, Wade Skull and Bones is running everything. I'm sick of it all. Howard Dean is Skull and Bones.
I didn't know that. Have you heard that?
So is John Kerry.
Well, we know about Kerry.
I didn't know Howard Dean was.
I didn't know that either.
Yes.
I don't think he is. I think John Kerry is, but not Howard Dean.
I'm pretty sure he is. There's a book out called Fleshing.
Maybe that was Wings and Drumsticks.
No, there's a book out called Fleshing. Fleshing Out Skull and Bones.
Oh, okay.
And it's written by a guy named Chris Milligan. His father was an OSS and a CIA agent.
Oh, okay.
And it's all absolute historical fact. It's got pictures in there. It's got pictures of, like, George Daddy George with Geronimo's bones. Because back in, I think it was September of 1976, they broke into Skull and Bones up there and went into room 322. They've got all the pictures. But it's got all about Prescott Bush with his Union Bank and how he financed Adolf Hitler. And
oh, yeah.
It's got the pictures of the actual newspaper clippings in there that people deny ever happened, that he was charged as an enemy of the state because they were using Jews from Auschwitz as slave labor in the steel mill there that he had vested interest in, making gun parts to fight our guys when they went over to fight World War II. So, yeah, it's all in that book, and it's all documented and factual. And I wish everyone would read it because that needs to be taught in American history instead of Christopher Columbus discovering America. And instead, all we hear about is Britney Spears and Michael Jackson, everything, anything and everything to keep your mind elsewhere, but on the facts of what's going on.
Well, you know, I can't argue with you on that. The other day, we had a helicopter crash near Fallujah, and 9 people died.
Well, they're not
and,
being
and the number
that.
One story was that, what's the trial out on the West Coast?
I'm a heavy equipment operator.
But the number one story, when that... helicopter crash was you know, the guy that murdered his wife or so.
I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, I can't even think of it. But that was the number one story, and the helicopter going down, being shot down with 9 people, and that was at the back.
Of course.
Well, I would like to know too. Where is one shred of evidence? And most people get angry at me for this, but I honestly want to know, where's the shred of evidence that any terrorist slammed into those the World Trade Center towers?
You don't think those were terrorists?
I think that the Bushes did it. I think they did it on purpose because they had a lot of money to gain through all this and a lot of ratings. Any time that his ratings start to drop, you watch, something happens, and they blame it on terror.
Well, I don't know if I agree completely with that. However, I would agree with you that they've used and abused an act.
Can you disprove it? Disprove what I'm saying? Any more than I can prove what the hell?
Hey, this is like
saying?
A God conversation. It's like, can you disprove my comment or my claim? I don't know. I can't disprove a negative. I don't know.
Well, I can't prove what they're saying either.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree. It's fishy, and I think there should be a lot more investigation into what happened. I agree with
indeed,
that completely.
It's no worse than the JFK assassination. It's the same deal.
Well, Diane, we thank you very much. Happy to hear from you today.
Yeah, I just hope people give a benefit of a doubt and know Silverado Bank and Harkin Oil. Go way back, people, and know what these Bushes will do. And I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, Silverado, Neil
American
Bush, yeah.
People need to, instead of being blind sheep, being led to a slaughter, they need to be able to ask their government for documentation and actual proof. Because John Lear, the famous jet pilot of Lear Jets, even said that when that plane flew into that number two building, there is no way someone could have learned to do that. They had to be mainly on the global satellite positioning, because it could not go in there like that on its own. Not even the best pilot could take that plane in like that.
Diane, we thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Now, there's a lady that seems to be angry with the Bushes.
I can see that. I can feel the anger there.
I'm angry with them myself. But, you know, I heard, who was it the other day saying, our friend Dennis Kucinich.
Uh-huh. What did Dennis say?
I don't know why some of the politicians seem to think we forget everything they ever say, and then it comes back to haunt them again. But as I recall, and don't get me wrong, folks, this is not an anti Dennis Kucinich thing. I love Dennis Kucinich. But we tell the truth on this program, and this is just something I noticed, and I'm going to bring it up. To start the campaigning, when the primary jostling started amongst the nine candidates, Dennis
6 months ago.
Way back when. Dennis Kucinich was the angry one on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
He was, he bristled, and, you know, he went right at him, went for the throat, and he was an angry candidate. Now he's admonishing everybody to say, well, now we can anger, we got to forget the anger. We got to.
I don't know. This is a context thing. I mean, was he referring to the Dean Clark Kerry Bash Fest? Because that's a little different than being angry about the economic situation.
No, he's talking about the anger against Bush, and I just thought.
Oh, really? Why was he saying we shouldn't be? I didn't hear that.
Well, I've got some notes around here someplace. I'll find them, but I just didn't think he was the one that should be saying that. Now, you know,
maybe he was repeating that mantra that anger's bad.
He's one of my guys. I love Dennis Kucinich, but I call a spade a spade, and that's something I saw him. That's a politician thing.
Well, you know, everybody that's in front of a camera and a microphone a lot's gonna find some things like
that.
Well,
just like the other day, they got caught Howard Dean saying something about the Iowa caucuses that he'd said 3 years ago.
Exactly.
You know, that's one thing that's going to change politicians considerably. Back in the old days, you could get up and say any damn thing you wanted to.
There was no internet where every person at a public library could go on and go, what did he say 6 months ago in this particular speech? Bam, bam, bam. Yeah.
They've got everything now. Every word, if you're in public, every word that you've ever said for a decade.
Which is good for people that stayed out of the public eye, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people like that maybe were in the military, or they actually didn't have any politics to run, actually didn't have to do anything other than a job. Yeah, I agree. That could benefit people that didn't have much of a public background. Yeah.
Speaking of people like that, our good friend Joe Connison. A lot of you remember we had Joe on the program a while back.
He was great.
Joe's one of my favorite writers. Joe wrote a great story. I don't know how many of you saw it this week, but it's in the Observer. And he often writes for them. He writes for a lot of folks. But a little story by Gloomy Predictions. You know, a lot of people have been predicting gloom and doom for the Democratic Party in this next election. And so Joe has kind of taken that up a little bit and brought that to task. And I just want to read a little bit from this story by Joe Connison. I know Joe doesn't mind us talking about it. The Democratic, and I'm quoting him, the Democratic frontrunner rivals in the New Hampshire primary insist that his flaws will render him unelectable in November. Unelectable, warns the junior senator from neighboring Massachusetts. Unelectable, warns a former governor of one of the nation's biggest states. Unelectable, warns the Democratic senator from Iowa, seconded by his colleague from Nebraska. The candidate has won a significant following among party activists and Democratic likely voters. And so many of them are saying unelectable, unelectable. And then Democratic consultants saying the negatives are forming on him like a political stalactite. The former mayor of New York describes his party's leading candidate as so flawed he has no possibility of defeating President Bush. And they must be talking about Howard Dean, right?
Are they?
No.
No?
They're talking about Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Nice. So I want you all to remember that. It was doom and gloom, and Bill Clinton didn't have a chance and when he started running, and we're a long way away from this election. So I've talked to some of my Democratic friends who are not necessarily activists. I think we activists are positive about what's going on, but I know a lot of people who aren't, and of course they believe what they hear in the press, and they want to adopt this doom and gloom, oh, we don't have a chance. No, we do. We do.
And remember the past.
Yes, exactly. What is it? If you don't remember it, you're doomed to repeat it.
Doomed to repeat it. Yes, you are.
Well, I wouldn't mind repeating the 1992 election.
Yeah, let's hope for
let's
that.
Let's do that all over again. Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show. We're going to pause for a break right now. We'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Prescription or over-the-counter medications may have an effect on your oral health. Being aware of possible medical side effects can help you maintain a smile, and for months, antihistamines are often used. While they help ease the effects of a cold, they also cause a decrease of saliva, which may lead to dry mouth. To help alleviate dry mouth, try using sugarless gum and lozenges or drinking more water to stimulate saliva. Aspirin and anticoagulants, which help in reducing blood clotting, are often prescribed as treatment for people with heart disease. However, a side effect is abnormal bleeding. Your dentist will need to consider that before performing oral surgery or periodontal treatment. Whatever medication you may be taking, regardless if it's over-the-counter or a prescription, be sure your dentist is aware of it. That information can help him or her provide safe and effective dental care. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell. To find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
Alcoholism within the family is a lot of work. You struggle to cover up the problem. You put all your energy into avoiding conflict. You focus on hiding the problem from others and yourself. But sooner or later, you discover that all you've done is paint yourself into a corner. That's why there's Al-Anon for families and friends of alcoholics. If someone's drinking is affecting your life, there is help.
Call 888-4-Al-Anon. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, what are you talking about? She's got an ass about 50 axe handles across, Hefner.
Listen to Phil Hendry.
You're sucking on that pipe, man. What is up? Is there tobacco in that? You know what I think that is? I think it's a bubble pipe.
Here, Hef, here's your pipe. Well, now is it the one with the tobacco?
Yeah, sure, it's tobacco.
He don't even notice he's blowing bubbles through that thing.
Are you out of your mind, man? You're getting so freaking old and stupid. You're senile. You know what you need, Hefner? By the way, you need an eye patch, man. That'll just complement the whole outfit.
Phil Hendry, weeknights at 7, right here on Power Talk 1200.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
And we're back. Another beautiful Saturday afternoon here in Southwest Florida. No, I'm lying. Actually,
it's chilly.
It's quite chilly. And the Florida folks who have lived here a while are walking around in fur coats and gloves this afternoon.
I saw, yes, a mink stole earlier today.
So all of our friends up north that we always rub it in and say how nice it is here in paradise today, it's cold here too. Now, I know it's below zero where you're at up north, but, you know, it's cold here too. So, you know, I did it again. One of my big faux pas that I just never can seem to get it through my head that I need to give out the phone numbers more than I do.
You know, it's you just got to keep maybe a tattoo or something.
Something like that. I you know, tape it right to my
forehead
glasses or something.
Yeah.
888-602-7500. 888-602-7500 or 7501. 7502, 7503, or 7504. Now, isn't that easy? You've got five toll-free lines. You can call on our nickel. And so, once again, that's 1-888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, 04. So, give us a call. We do want to hear from you, be ye friend or foe. And I hope even our Republican friends aren't foe. I like to have good conversations.
Have they been calling the last couple of weeks? Or
well, yeah. We have some calls, but I don't think a lot of our Republican friends have found out we're here yet.
Oh, okay.
They do call occasionally, uh-huh. but they haven't found out we're here yet. Now, there seems to be a difference between here and Naples.
Really?
As many of you know, we were on in Naples, Florida, which isn't all that far from here,
no.
About 25 miles or mm-hmm. so. We were on there for a year, and it seemed like some of the most angry calls. I mean, there were some beauties.
Yeah. There was some of those calls from the middle of the state down in the Everglades. They were There were some fun ones.
Ah, yes. Back there in, you know.
Pretty much.
Okay. Who do we have? We've got Well, we've got somebody. You know, we're in beautiful island territory, Captiva Island and Sanibel Island. And we've got Gene at Sanibel Island calling right now. Gene, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Guy. Can you hear me, Guy?
I sure can.
Okay, well, I was listening in before, and I heard Diane, and she's heavy into facts, but I think she gleaned them all from outer space. I mean, talking about not believing what happened at the towers, that is an incredible statement.
Yeah.
Based upon all the misery that it generated, and to think that she could blame our own people for such a terrible act, I think she's been driving heavy equipment.
Well, as you know, there are all kinds of opinions, and I certainly didn't say I agreed with that.
No, and you do have to admit, though, they haven't been very thorough with the investigation and what they've released. And I think that causes a lot of the problems.
Well, it's the same way back with the Kennedy assassination. Right. When there isn't a thorough investigation, it leads to conspiracy theories. And that's a sorry thing that happens.
Well, that's true. That Kennedy conspiracy theory is still boiling away.
Oh, yeah. And this will be, too, forever and a day.
Yeah. Of course, the other thing that was banged on was the president's plan to bring in the undocumented people and document them, which is based upon a plan which would limit their stay and, of course, get the benefit from their employment and give them the benefits that they're entitled to.
That's not exactly, you'd have to admit, wouldn't you, Gene, that's not exactly one of the conservative things that they've been pushing for any period of time, is it?
It's not, but it's a humanistic act, I think, to give the benefit to the people that really deserved it. Now, I actually live in North Carolina. I vacation in California, and I see Mexican people working themselves to death for very little money and very few benefits.
Absolutely.
And I think they're entitled to what they earn.
And the benefits, how would they get the benefits from being here? From their employers? Are you talking about benefits when they retire here? Is that what you're talking about? Or?
Well, not necessarily kind of benefits? Retire here, but benefits the same as an American worker would if they work industriously, and they're earning a profit for the people that they're working for, then those people should share those profits in the way of medication, the benefits, medicine coverage for children, that sort of thing. I don't think that's a problem.
I think your view, and I share your view. I personally do, but I don't think your view is representative of the Republican Party's view of this. I really don't. I've heard a lot of screaming over this issue.
Well, that's true. I'll tell you truthfully, I'm a very definite Republican, always have been, and never will change. I'll promise you that. But I still have what I feel is a humanitarian streak. You got to give people their due.
You're a dinosaur, man. How do you feel about, like, let's say, sort of the right-wing, hardcore religious sort of takeover of the Republican Party over the last few years? I mean, do you feel like you're a part of that, or are you not a part of that? I mean, how does that make you feel? You know, this is sort of like the, what do you call it, the Rockefeller Republicans. Do you fall into that category, or how would you classify yourself?
Well, I'm a right-winger, no question about it. I'm not a religious fanatic. There's no question about that. I believe women should have the right to choose. I don't believe they should be forced into a situation that might be dangerous for them individually. And, you know, many people express that view and still hold the Republican tenets to be true also.
Well, as you know, and I believe, I don't have any facts to back this up today, so I won't state it as a fact, but it is my opinion that the reason the Republicans control the South is because of the religious right, the Falwells and the Robertsons controlling that group, and it is, I would say, almost exclusively because of the abortion issue.
Pretty much, in my opinion, at least.
That's my opinion, anyway, and I haven't done a personal survey to find out if that's the truth or not, but I've always felt that that's the truth. So you're a little bit different than your run of the mill right winger. I don't think you're as right as right wing as you think you are. I think you're maybe a little more toward the center than a lot of Republican folks I know.
Well, I try to be human rather than strictly a political tool, and I think many people are in that same boat. They think. And they come to a conclusion, and they go to the party that seems to represent what they feel strongly is their position in the political life.
I truly believe that this is a move, and I know we disagree on this, and we'll have to agree to disagree, but I truly believe that this is a move by the Bush White House to garner the Spanish vote. I really do.
Well, with respect to that, and I listened to that part, too, and I've been around for 76 years, so I've been through a lot of political, rock throwing. And I recall clearly during Clinton's last months in office, he signed off on legitimizing murderers, thieves, and undocumented thousands, and that was purely for the vote. There was no other reason for
that. What did that mean? What do you mean,
undocumented thousands? I don't know. He pardoned 140 people when he went out of office. Is that what you were...
No, that's not what I mean. Okay. I didn't like that either. That was a dirty, low trick.
But he didn't do any more there than any other president.
Was it any different than, let's say, not pardoning, but paroling Orlando Bosch, that terrorist in Miami that first Bush did?
I have to admit I'm not familiar with that one, so I really can't comment on it. No, I'm talking about when Clinton...
They all do that, okay? That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's the way you hand it off. They all do that, okay.
Hey, I don't like any of them when it comes to that. I'll be honest with you. I don't like that practice I don't like that practice in general. On the last day or the last week of your administration, you can just go off and pass off part. I don't like that practice in general.
No, I don't
either.
So that's not a pass off. That's just I don't like it.
Well, it damages the American perspective of becoming a citizen and earning your way into citizenship if you're not born and naturally a citizen. It demeans the system. It really does. And I think that's a very bad way to go. I think you have to earn your way in. You have to go through the system of where people are waiting in line for years. Why not let them come in first if they're legitimately clean and can come through without records of, criminal action and all that sort of thing?
Well,
as opposed to all of a sudden jumping the gun and inviting thousands in and signing them in, and that's it.
I still don't know what thousands you're talking about.
Which thousands?
You're talking about Clinton did thousands of people toward the end of his administration, but you weren't talking about the people he pardoned. I'm a little unclear on what you're speaking about.
Was there an amnesty?
There was a huge amnesty granted.
I don't remember that, actually, and maybe we could have somebody look that up or something.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. That would be a good idea. Okay, well, I thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call, Gene. We appreciate it very much, and enjoy Sanibel. Are you here year-round or just for part of the year?
No, actually, we're up in Punta Gorda, and we're just at the entrance to Sanibel at the shopping area.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
have
you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Hey, reasonable caller. Let's see who else we got. We got Chuck in Fort Lauderdale. Chuck, welcome to the program. Are you there, Chuck?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Chuck. Is this Chuck Prentice by any chance?
This is Chuck Prentice.
Chuck, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I haven't told anybody about you yet. Let me just explain. We've got some music a little later, about close to a 4-minute piece. Wouldn't you say, Chuck?
Yes, that's about right.
We're going to play this, and I know you're going to enjoy it. We got it queued up. I think we're going to do it in the second hour sometime. But Chuck is a singer-songwriter who lives over in Fort Lauderdale. And I tell you what, he sent me a song that I know all of you are going to love. Tell us about it, Chuck. What caused you to do this?
Oh, probably the same thing that caused you to start your radio show.
It's called Robin Bush and His Merry Band.
Oh, nice.
And have we got that queued up right now? Can we do that right now? I'm driving the tech people around here crazy. We'll have Chuck back on the phone in just a minute. Let's do his song right now.
Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the prehistoric Limbaugh. We had a huge surplus and it's gone. We'll be running huge deficits from now on. There are big tax refunds for a few. The rich get richer, and the poor get screwed. Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the prehistoric Limbaugh. It's Rush and Bush. We've seen 3 million jobs disappear, with poverty levels rising every year. But when those inheritance taxes fall, there'll be a new class of folks who'll never need a job at all. Class warfare. Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the Blue Pill Poppin' Little Boys. From Washington, he protects our malls against terrorists and liberals. The L word, compassionate, conservative, gentle, and kind. He'll leave no billionaires behind. Shaft the needy, help the greedy. Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the buggy druggy. Are you working two jobs to make ends meet? Or have you been downsized? Are you on the street? Is your medical plan gone? Is your school going bust? Or your clean air and water turning to rust? Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the old painkiller. Who says there's no sex in the White House? Ha! The Bushies have raped America. Murdoch's Fox News, Fox America, fair and balanced. And who's the ditto head's delight? Who hides the truth way out of sight? The Baghdad Bob of the radical right. They're propagandists. Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the prehistoric Limbaugh. Yeehaw! That's fair and balanced.
And there you have it, Chuck Prentice with, hey, did we, Chuck, are you still there? Call us back, Chuck. If you're listening right now, call us back. He must have.
Moment of inspiration, back to write another song.
I'm sure he'll give us a call back. Yeah, he's an interesting story.
Yeah.
A very interesting story. He's not some Yahoo.
No.
Chuck is, he's been around the block. He's he's had a lifetime as a lawyer and businessman in Midtown Manhattan. And last year he moved to Lauderdale by the Sea, a lovely place over on the East
yes,
Coast.
Yes, it is.
And he's into helping get rid of Mr. Bush.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of interesting people definitely working their way. His story is kind of interesting with the kind of after retirement becoming something of a comic song singer-songwriter.
Oh, yeah. So
unusual.
We have to get him over here in person sometime.
Oh, definitely.
Get him
definitely.
Across the Alligator Alley and have him come over in the studio sometime. And very, very interesting guy. I hope he calls back. By the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500. 888-602-7500. If you're local, if you're in New Zealand, call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. I think we got Chuck back on the line. Chuck, you back with us? Hey, you back with us, Chuck?
Yes.
Hey, welcome back. We lost you there for a minute. I know everybody loved your song, and I hope to hear a lot more from you. We'll have to have you over at the studio sometime. We were talking here, get you across Alligator Alley and come over to Fort Myers. I was pleasantly surprised when I threw your music on the other day. I get to see, as I often do, get CDs in the mail, and most of them I can't play. But
no, you can't.
Yours was just great, and I really appreciate it. And you're you've got such an interesting bio. Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I graduated from Yale Law School, and while I was at Yale, I worked with my friend Victor Novosky, who's now the editor of The Nation. And we started a political satire journal there called Monocle, a leisurely quarterly of political satire. And for Monocle, I wrote a poem called Why Has the Radical Taken a Sabbatical? And that was 22 years old, and they published that in a huge book called An Anthology of Political Humor. And I'm a radical who's taken a sabbatical for 45 years, And now I'm back on the scene after that short little sabbatical, and just so glad about doing this stuff again. That's only the first one, Guy. I sent you one in the mail today about political gay bashing by the religious right. I think you're really going to like. It's called Sex and Religion, and it's in the mail to you as we speak.
The religious right gay bashing? Hadn't heard that, Chuck.
No, they would never.
They wouldn't
never
do that, would they?
I may be wrong about it, but you can correct me. I'll tell you a quick anecdote about that. I happened to be on a right-wing radio program, a talk show, yesterday down here in Broward County in Florida. And when we played both of the songs on the air, the one you just played and the one that's coming to you, Sex and Religion. Well, the host was squirming and cringing, but in the control booth, his producer was jumping up and down like Rumpelstiltskin, giving me high fives, laughing, and in hysterics. And I think you're going to like this one.
Hey, you've got a station over there in your area, too. You've got one of our favorite gals. Her name is Randy Rhodes. And she's on, what is it, WJNO, I believe, over there, 1290 on your dial. Mm-hmm. And I know Randy would appreciate hearing from you as well. She's got great ratings, and she is from the left.
Yes, I think she scooped you already by playing Robin Bush the other day, but I'd love to talk to her.
Oh, I would talk to her about that.
Yeah, I know. That's not acceptable.
Yeah.
I'd love to call her.
Dandy Gallen, we'll be catching up with her in Washington a week from Monday. She and I and some others are going to arrive for a conference we're having there for Liberal Radio host, and I know Randy's going to be there, so we look forward to seeing her. She's quite a gal.
Well, compare notes with Randy. See what reaction she got to Robin Bush. And I look forward to seeing how Sex and Religion will fare.
Well, she's got a lot more liberals in her neighborhood, you see. Where we're at, the Democrats are outnumbered in a big, big way. I mean a big way. So I'm not sure I know what this means. Did you meet Jeff in New York?
From Democratic Underground.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Which Jeff is that?
From Democratic Underground.
Jeff Manson?
I never did meet him.
Okay.
All right.
I wasn't quite sure. We had a note off the internet. Wasn't quite sure what that meant.
I'd love to meet him. Anybody from any underground is my kind of guy.
Are you on the internet much, Chuck?
Yes.
I assume you have visited democraticunderground.com.
I don't think so. I may have missed that one.
Hey, you got to go to that, Chuck.
Give it a shot.
It's probably the premier liberal democratic forum on the internet, without question. There's about 37,000 mm-hmm. members right now. And, you know, there are people of all stripes are on there. From centrist to spooky. So, you're going to...
I'd be on the spooky side.
So you're going to get them all.
The program I was on yesterday didn't get too many liberal listeners either.
Yeah.
Not one of the callers was. But you never know. Some of what I said might have gotten through to a few of them, and certainly like to keep trying.
Yeah, the guy we asked you about in New York, his name is Jeff Matson, and he's into the cabaret scene.
He always
rubs that into me in a big way about going out in the town and having a good time in New York. And of course, he knows I love that, and I don't want to hear it from him anymore for a while anyway. So
good try, because you could start hearing it from me, because I happen to be the major star of Don't Tell Mama, which is the premier cabaret they've got in New York, and I also do the whole circuit, perform at Danny's, Duplex. Rose's Turn, you name it, I've been there and I do it. And cool. They all know me, Guy.
I bet you you've run across Jeff Matson, and I bet you have. And we'll have to hook you two up. I'm sure you have something in common. Got to pause for a break, Chuck. It's so good to have you with us today.
Love the song.
Please call us back, and when we get the new song in, we're certainly going to throw it on and give it a listen several times, probably.
Thank you, Guy. It's a pleasure speaking to you. And I hope we'll all do the New York cabaret scene together. That would be a blast.
You bet it would. Ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Prentice, so glad to have Chuck with us today. We're going to pause for a break. I want to give you the numbers to give us a call, 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. That's 888-602-7500, 01, 02, 03, and 04. So give us a call. We'll be right back.
A Democrat and proud of it. Guy James.
It's the domain of legends. Men capable of causing a whole country to hold its breath while waiting for that. One smooth motion of a wrist and an entire nation strains its eyes, each one urging that little white ball on until it's going, going, gone. Now imagine these living myths, these faces in which you know every line, every wrinkle as sure as you can list their average from last year. And now they're all turned to you, expectant.
This bat's yours, right?
Yeah, kid, that's the one.
To a child with a life-threatening illness, being a bat boy for his favorite team wasn't the end of all his youthful hopes. It was the beginning of them. Visit the Make-A-Wish Foundation at wish.org and share the power of a wish.
No one knows your child better than you. The color of her eyes, the warmth of her smile. But can you perform CPR? What if she were choking or unconscious? Each year, 30 million kids need emergency care. And no matter how much you think you know, you can always be better prepared. Talk with your healthcare provider or call for a brochure. 1-888-ASK-HRSA. And get the right care when it counts.
Laurie McNichol does traffic for us here in New York. It was revealed earlier this morning by Ms. McNichol that she is dating more than one person, right?
Uh-huh.
Is one, say, on first base and the other headed home?
You choking up on somebody's back.
Round the third.
If your radio light sucks in the morning, you're listening to I Miss in the Morning.
But no one's on third.
No one's
on third and no
anybody
one's
on the mound.
You know what I'm saying?
Weekdays, this is 10 on Power Talk 1200.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James back with you on this Saturday afternoon, about 11 minutes till 4 o'clock, having a great time here with you. It was good visiting with Chuck Prentice, and looking forward to getting more of his music. You know, we Democrats have got a lot of work to do this coming year, a lot of work. And I finally realized the other day, I was sitting and thinking, you know, they're always condemning anybody on the left that tries to do radio. And, you know, Mario Cuomo didn't make it, and a lot of people didn't make it. I think I know the reason. When you're talking to a Republican audience, you're talking probably to an audience that pretty cohesive. Pretty doggone cohesive. They've got a few issues that they stick to. In my opinion, at least, there are not a lot of... I don't think they're the idea party. They're not going to like me saying that, but I don't think they are the idea party. I think almost all the new ideas we've ever had in this country come from the left. And so they're cohesive, and I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing they don't have new ideas. I think they'd take us back to the Stone Age if they had a chance, or back to the Quaker days anyway, the Salem witch trials. I know Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson would be glad to put on those big black hats with the bands around them. They seem so anyway. But when you're talking to a bunch of Democrats, it's quite another story. You're talking to a fractured group. Can't think of his name, Will Rogers said once, I don't belong to an organized party, I'm a Democrat. Well, when you're talking to a group of Democrats, and say there's 50 of them in the crowd, chances are they've got 25 different ideas, maybe 50, of what needs to be done on the environment and the economy, about the war. And the Democrats, as I always like to say, are the idea party. And I don't think people mind speaking up and you know, putting their ideas out. And that's why it's so difficult to talk to a liberal audience, because you can't hit upon all of their agendas in any one show. It's very, very difficult.
It's not lockstep.
No, it isn't. And I think it's so easy, you know, if the pill-popping drug junkie over from Palm Beach, if he says something, you know, he says 20 million. He doesn't have 20 million audience. Actually, it's more like 17, and it's for the whole week. He likes to make it think it's day by day. But when he says something like that, you can bet you can hear the voice across the country, "That's right, Rush," you know, in unison.
They practice the KISS methodology
yeah.
with no taxes. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a lot to think to say, well, I don't like paying taxes, so yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But then they don't look at all the other things that taxes fund and what they do and what they're there for, but, you know.
And they got the, you know, the persecution thing going on about how the welfare people have persecuted them and taken all their money away and blah, 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 blah.
They should hate that. They should hate this new bill with the legal or the worker guest worker program. I mean, please.
A lot of them do.
They ought to.
A lot of them do. A lot of them hate it. And Bushy boy, he's going to get some heat over that, but not very much heat. You know, I do want to get to what I wanted to talk about today. And what I mainly wanted to talk about today, and we'll talk about it for the next hour, I suppose, if we can get you to join in. By the way, give us a call at 1-888-602-7500. Locally here, if you want. If you don't want to use that number, you can call us 479-5540. 479-5540 or 263-6570. We welcome your call, be you from the left or the right. But a lot of folks are saying, and I don't understand this, that now the Democrats have lost the economy issue.
Huh?
And I think that is so far from the truth, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Things that we're complaining about that we think we could do better, you know, we talk about the war, that's a big issue, and the economy is stupid. You know, that's been a big issue. And they say, well, the stock market's up, and now the Democrats have lost the economy issue. Bull. I mean, that's just simply not true. They are spinning and spinning and spinning out of the White House, this stock market being up, and, you know, the economy is just booming.
The stock market is not the economy. I mean, I think that's what they seem to forget. There's a whole slew of different activities and industries that are the economy that aren't the stock market.
Well, and nowadays, you know,
aren't the economy.
You get a guy that works down at one assistant manager at Walmart, and he gets him 2 shares of Walmart stock, and he's got a portfolio.
Yeah, he's
and,
got that's a
and,
portfolio.
And he's a Republican now.
Yeah.
You know, that's but it's just like what happened this week. we've been told and told and told how we've got this great recovery going on, right? 309,000 Americans who had been searching for jobs in December gave up.
Gave up. So the unemployment went down.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Now get this straight, folks. They're going to brag that the unemployment went down from 5.9 to 5.7, its lowest level in 14 months. But they did not tell you that 309,000 people went off the unemployment rolls because it had run out.
In all fairness, both NPR and a couple of the nightly news brought that up. I don't know if they explained it very well.
They didn't explain it well enough, Lucy.
But they did bring it up, so in their defense.
But you're not going to hear that much on the national networks. They had bragged that the administration had bragged
the
that they were expecting a gain of 150,000 jobs in December.
Wall Street was saying maybe 180,000 in December.
You know how many it was? 1,000.
That's 20 a state, folks.
1,000. That's 51,000 fewer jobs than they created at the end of last year.
Yeah. That was a bang-up job. And they have to create how many? 150,000 a month to keep up with the population?
150 a month to keep up, and they had predicted they were going to gain 300,000 jobs a month. I hope I can keep up with all these figures.
And also, the 3 months that they've been basing this whole economic recovery on, what was that, September, October, November?
Yeah.
Those were downgraded.
Went back and revised everyone. Revised all the figures.
Yeah.
Wells Fargo chief, their chief economist, Sung-Hwan Son, said recent talk about the booming economy and the rising stock market did very little to convince employers or job seekers that their prospects were picking up at all. And he says that you got to have the jobs to have a healthy economy. You know, economic growth is great, but the job market is lousy. This is coming from the head economist from Wells Fargo. And there are many, many, many jobs. We've had a December showed a continued deterioration amongst the nation's factory workers. Those jobs are bye-bye forever, probably. That's a decline of 26,000 jobs, which extended the losing streak of the factory workers to 41 months in a row.
That's amazing.
Retailers shed 38,000 positions.
See, that's the kicker, retailers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was supposed to be the saving grace. That'll get you at least $6.50 or $7.50 an hour.
And, you know, their normal tendency is to hire workers for the holiday, and actually they got rid of 38,000 people. The financial services sector lost 12,000 jobs because of a decline in mortgage activity. Nationally, wage growth, now this is something that's important to every family, and you're not going to hear it from the news media. Wage growth has slowed, and the few jobs that are being created seem to be low-paying. That's the secret, low pay. Some analysts said there's a risk to their growth estimates for the economy and for consumer spending. And in previous recoveries, some stats that I picked up this week, employers added 200,000 to 300,000 jobs each month in recent recoveries, previous recoveries. The labor force typically expands by about 150,000 jobs a month. And this has led economists to estimate payrolls need to rise by more than 200,000 a month to reverse the damage in the job market.
Uh-huh.
And it's not happening.
No, no.
So, you know, it's sad news on the economy. And if any of you want to call in and let us know why you think it's booming, if you believe the line from the White House, give us a call and let us know. 888-602-7500. The states are having a problem. You know, the headlines continue to tell us how great the economy is, but states across the U.S. are pulling the plug on desperately needed health coverage, especially for low-income Americans, and including about 500,000 children.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, they all these yellow, orange, peach, and taupe and mauve alerts, or however many colors there are. They're costing the states money,
mm-hmm.
and they're going deeper and deeper in the hole. It's a big problem, and this so-called recovery is not happening. It may be happening within the walls of the White House, but
and it happens within the walls of, let's say, you know, Sanibel Island too. Probably, you know, there's a lot of people when they say productivity gains go up. Yeah, that means there's fewer people doing the same approximate amount of work. So I mean. You know, I guess it comes down to this. If you have an unregulated system, it's going to be a race to the bottom for most people. For
Absolutely.
The vast majority of people, it's a race to the bottom. If you control it and actually try to be thoughtful about the way you run your society, then that doesn't happen so badly. And, you know, people can either want the simple answers and simple solutions, which are, well, you're pretty much SOL, unless you're already there. And I don't know. It's sad, but sometimes you think people may have to take a harder hit before they, you know,
well,
understand.
Well, obviously. And, you know, temporary payrolls rose by 30,000 jobs, but that isn't helping the situation. And here's a couple of interesting stats. We got just a couple of minutes before we stop for the news at the top of the hour. But the average weekly earnings fell by $2.08 a week to $5.22, down from $5.24 in November. Average weekly earnings fell, folks, and yet productivity's up.
But for that top group, which, you know, I'm not saying where I am, it's really not that bad. It's really not that bad. You don't feel it the same way. It's a banana republic mentality.
The top group does not feel it. And, you know, and worse, very ominously, the average work week shrank to 33.7 hours from 33.9 in November, indicating businesses decreasing activity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a rosy picture, not at all. And, you know, what's being spun out of the White House is a completely different story from what it actually is. So I do want all of you to keep that in mind. If you want to believe Fox News every day, we go right ahead, but we'll tell you the truth on this program. You're listening to The Guy James Show. We'll be back right after the news at the top of the hour. Give us a call. What's the number? 888-602-7500. We'll look forward to your call. We'll take calls right after the top of the hour.
The Guy James Show.
here he is. Fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Glad to be back with you. Guy James, Michael's along this afternoon.
Hello, hello.
And we got Stephanie at the computer monitoring the Internet, seeing what's happening. If you got any questions, if you're listening on the Internet, no matter where you are, why, we got a thread going on Democratic Underground on the discussion forum. Join in. I'd be glad to have you call us. And, by the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500. 888-602-7500. 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Just looking at one of the TV monitors in here. More problems in Iraq today. Five people demonstrating because they don't have jobs. I think down near Fallujah, I think. They just start shooting them. That's what Henry Ford used to do up in Detroit. You know, he got his thugs to shoot people when they were on strike, and I guess they do that in Iraq, too. If you
don't. Oh, yeah, but you know, all you hear now, though, is that Ford said, you know, you have to have those people be able to buy those cars that they're making, you know? Well, yeah, but he's also kind of a, you know.
Well, and, you know, we were talking about the economy before we went to break, and Mr. Bush, of course, is going to want to keep his tax cuts permanent, and a lot of the Democratic candidates, or some of the Democratic candidates, don't want them to be permanent. And Mr. Bush used his tax cut to say that that's what stimulated the economy so much. And I just think we just gave you enough enough data to prove that the economy is not doing so good.
It's stimulated in some fields. Let's say military is a good thing to be in, and anything that supports military sort of practices, yeah.
But it's stimulating the people at the top.
And people trading shares back and forth are still trading shares back and
forth.
That's
right. So, you know, the tax cut has not proven to be a big thing for the common average Joe American. So let's see here. We've got Mac in North Carolina. Been waiting a long time. Let me see here. Mac, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy, how are you doing?
Great. Glad to have you with us. Thanks for waiting.
Good. I come to you through Democratic Underground.
Thank you.
A long-time participant in that great website. I really enjoyed hearing Chuck Prentice on your program.
Oh, yeah, he's a dandy.
The Radical Sabbatical. I would like to see that poem in its entirety.
Yeah, yeah.
But here are a couple of figures for you to sink your teeth into. One of which I just lifted off of Democratic Underground. Someone posted that the national debt has now reached $7 trillion.
Wow. That ain't hay, they say.
That ain't hay. The national deficit at the end of 2003 was at $374 billion. So that's bye-bye to Mr. Clinton's surplus.
Yeah, and you know, the people at the IMF are starting to get very worried.
Wouldn't
about
that
this.
Wouldn't that be ironic if the World Bank and the IMF and all of these agencies that we helped set up to basically go and, I don't know, pillage other countries with our multinationals came and pillaged us?
They're going to make us the big debtor nation. Actually, we're making ourselves the big debtor nation.
Right. I believe it could happen, and it could happen in the guise of rising interest rates that are prompted by the IMF. Now, this cabal has looted the Treasury in less than 3 years. They've totally looted the Treasury. They've totally devastated the middle class. And it's going to take generations to recover. You both know that. Even if we elect a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress, it will take generations to recover from the damage that the Bush administration has done.
I agree.
Last night on one of the local TV stations here in the mountains, they did a little feature on the Labor Department's new initiatives in overtime, doing away with overtime. And like so much of the other things that the Bush administration has done, this is catching flack from both sides. The small business owners are not happy with what they're hearing. So I like to think that kind of like this Paul O'Neill thing, that you know, with enough line, these guys are going to well, like Shakespeare said, they'll be hoisted by their own petards.
Mm-hmm. They certainly will.
Of course, we'll have to see where Mr. O'Neill goes and with his appearance tomorrow night on 60 Minutes.
Everybody should watch that.
Yes.
Oh yeah. In case a lot of you didn't know, already a few quotes have come out from that, and he said that President likened President Bush at the cabinet meetings to a blind man in a room full of deaf people.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, he has pretty much lambasted Bush, and I have felt all along that someone like this would come out, and right now I think if we could get one more, I don't mean if we could get one more to come out, but if someone from the administration would step forward with that kind of expose, then it would pretty much be over as far as re-election of Bush.
Well, you know, they're going to try and crucify Paul O'Neill as being a
sour grapes.
Yeah, sour grapes, but they can't really do that because when they appointed him Secretary of the Treasury, they had the most glowing references for him. Oh, he's going to be the best treasurer and the most knowledgeable we ever had.
That won't stop Rove from trying to discredit him.
Worse yet, in his book, though, he has copies and gave for the actual authors of the book, gave copies of memos and emails and all these things about the Iraq issue before 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They were planning on invading Iraq before September 11th, 2001. So, I mean, you know, he backed it up with documentation, which I got to give him credit for.
Well,
I don't know what that is yet.
I think that if that sticks, that is going to be the most damaging aspect of what I've heard so far coming from Paul O'Neill. I was very much against this war. I was in the streets in Dallas, Texas, where I moved from to here to North Carolina. But I flew 250 combat missions in Vietnam. Mm. I have seen it up front, close and dirty, and it was a big mistake from the get-go. And now it's looking like those of us who opposed it were opposing it for the right reasons.
Well, and there's a quote from O'Neill from the very beginning, and I'm quoting, from the very beginning, there was a conviction that Saddam Hussein was a bad person, that he needed to go. He told Leslie Stahl, for me, the notion of preemption that the U.S. has the unilateral right to do whatever we decide to do is really a huge leap, said O'Neill.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he's telling it like it is about it. They were looking for an excuse, any excuse.
Right, right. Well, I enjoy your show. I'm battling a cold, so I can't talk much longer.
All right, Mac. Well, we appreciate you calling, and thanks so much for listening to the show.
Okay, Michael.
Appreciate it.
All right,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to our New York Bureau.
Who apparently was lying about meeting our earlier guest. I don't know. I think he was making that up.
Well,
I don't trust him.
We're going to find out the truth right now from the New York Bureau. We have Jeff in New York. Jeff, welcome to the program.
No, I was not lying. I have met Chuck Prentice on a number of occasions. He just doesn't remember the name. He would remember, if I had a picture, he'd remember. I promise you.
We believe you.
I promise you. Anyway, staying on the economy, did either of you happen to catch Lou Dobbs last night?
No.
Okay. He was reporting on the brilliant, you know, recovery of jobs, an entire 1,000 jobs, you know, in December.
20th state.
And Lou also like grilled Don Evans, who was pathetic. But what I liked about Lou is that Lou put up this graphic, this new little theme for us to think about in about the Bush economic recovery. He called it the selfish recovery, meaning that the corporations and the fat cats are doing great, but no jobs. They're making more money by outsourcing. They made a little more money over the Christmas season, but for the first time in anyone's memory, the retailers didn't hire holiday help.
I've never in my entire life, I'm 35 years old, I've never ever heard of that happening.
They made the existing worker workers work harder, the corporations made more money, and of course nobody is going to willingly give up a job right now. Even when they're having benefits taken away and overtime taken away, they look at the situation and go, I hate this job.
You know what?
I leave it. What happens to me? So the selfish recovery, I hope some of the Democrats pick up on that, because it's potent.
And another thing about Lou Dobbs is he is no liberal. So
No, not at all.
No, not the, and you know, this administration, when they got these tax cuts in, they 6 months that these tax cuts have been going now, they promised that they'd have over 500,000 jobs, new jobs on account of this tax cut. And they only made 221,000 in the 6 months, so they're way off. And, you know, they promised 1,800,000 and some thousand jobs in the – they're losing out. And
I mean, they need over 100,000 a month for new people coming into the market.
That was 150, isn't it?
150, yeah. I'm being generous. Uh-huh. I think over 100,000 just for the people coming in. They're falling back so fast. You know, and then you have, and then they, and also Lou was, again, he's no liberal, but he is awfully tough on Bush on the economy.
He has been. I'll be fair to Lou Dobbs. He has.
A clip of idiot George going, well, it's down to 5.7. That's not good enough, but you know, we're going to get those jobs for you. And Lou like rolled his eyes and went, what are you talking about?
Did he make the point of the 300,000 people that just fell off the rolls because they gave up?
Well, of course.
Okay, good. Well, you're talking about effective unemployment, but yes, they don't count that.
I'm talking about real unemployment. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, or throw in underemployment and voila.
That's exactly right. And the projections, you know, we always hear their projections. Oh, we project this many jobs. They projected an average of 300,000 jobs, new jobs a month between now and November of 2004. And that's absolutely absurd.
That was some powerful
crap. This month they ran 299,000 short. So it's not happening.
No, it's not happening at all. And again, you know, I think I've said this in previous calls. You know, the people that believe that Bush is a Republican and a conservative and representing their, you know, interests, I said it's going to be when their jobs, their pension, and their children are gone, they're going to go, he's lying to us, isn't he? He's just flat out lying to us.
Well, it's the people at the bottom end of the Republican scale that keep him in office. Those are the masses that voted for him. And sooner or later, no matter what their other views are, their pocketbooks are going to speak, and they're going to have to vote. They're going to have to vote their pocketbooks.
Their pocketbooks and their children.
Yes, absolutely.
And their children. We're going to hit the 500 mark very soon.
Won't be long.
Yes, we are. It's one more helicopter crash away.
Yeah. What is that? 495 dead in Iraq so far. 2,805 injured.
Well, again, that number is
vastly.
Is possibly 10 times that. It's very hard to find to get information on the wounded because they want to keep that very quiet of how many hospitals they have warehoused the people with blown off limbs and blind and brain damaged, and they don't want that to be even part of the numbers.
And you know, one of the most disgraceful things I've heard, I just read a story today, I'm trying to think of the name of the group right now, one of the nation's leading veteran service organization.
The DVA.
Yeah, the Disabled American Veterans.
Yeah.
They have been restricted from visiting soldiers in Washington.
I know, they have to have a bushing minder go along with them. No privacy, no private
right.
conversation.
Have to
and
have.
They're there to do, you know, to work with them on their health issues, and they have to have a bushy hovering around them to make sure that what the truth doesn't come out.
That's
exactly
sick. That
right.
Absolutely.
They have to have an escort to visit with them. Here's
were we accusing
before?
Iraq of that with the when they were investigating the scientists? They were interviewing them.
Yes. Exactly.
They're like, oh, they'd always have somebody watching over them. Oh my God, we're doing the same thing.
That's I think that's absolutely disgraceful. The Disabled American Veterans Group is they're congressionally chartered. This is not some group that's butting their nose in. They're congressionally chartered. They have every right to visit with these soldiers. The soldiers want to be counseled by them, and yet now their access is being very limited, and they have to have an escort with them at all times.
When wow.
That smells. That really smells.
No, I said you need to get some investigative journalists with, you know, with stealth cams and go into those hospitals, and people start seeing the truth. I mean, Cher came out and told the truth on C-SPAN. She, you know, she's a celebrity. She got to go in and visit these troops, and she came out and gave this, you know, harrowing account of being in this hospital and the kind of damage she saw. But you're not seeing it on anywhere, certainly not on the corporate news, and barely in the national.
And, well, you would think the left-controlled media would have that story, but they
damn liberal media.
Yeah. Jeff, we got to pause for a break. As always, it's great hearing from the New York Bureau. I assume you're going out to enjoy some cabaret life tonight.
Actually, tomorrow I am.
Tomorrow, okay.
Tomorrow I am.
Never on Sunday.
Right here, right now, I'm just freezing. There's been no heat in my building for 3 days.
Oh.
And the temperatures were in the single digits here in New York.
Oh, well, I don't feel so bad that it's cool here today. Jeff, thank you so much. Great
okay.
hearing from you.
Bye-bye.
We're going to pause for a break right now. We've got a couple callers waiting on the line. We'll be right back, and we'll take your call as soon as we come back. You're listening to The Guy James Show, and you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501-0203, or 045 lines for you. We'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
My husband and I, we met at a
strip mall
dance. He was 20, I was 17. It was a beautiful old
strip mall
built by my grandfather after he'd emigrated from Holland to be a farmer. Anyway, when I saw my husband at that dance, I realized I'd seen him before at a big rally at the
highway on ramp
for all the men who'd enlisted. He was going to war. 2 weeks later, he left for basic training. Oh, I cried my eyes out that day. His train left the
car dealership.
But we rode to each other every day. I rode my bike the 10 miles to the
high rise
each morning, just so I could meet the mail when it got there. 4 years later, he came home to me, and we married at the little
convenience store
downtown.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
As backyards go, Florida's is tough to beat. History in one corner, fishing shacks in another. When was the last time you went out and took a look? To help you explore your home state, get a Worth the Drive driving tours guidebook free from Visit Florida. Call Visit Florida at 1-888-7-FLA-USA. Or visit FLAUSA.com. This message is brought to you by Visit Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
This is a quiet message about noise and the possibility there's too much of it in your life. Audiologists know that everyday sounds, like lawnmowers, music with headphones, even the commotion of a crowded restaurant, can hit 85 decibels. That's loud enough, over time, to cause permanent hearing loss. So keep an eye on your ears. For more on hearing health and the 85 danger zone, visit asha.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Guy James here with you on this chilly afternoon in southwest Florida here in Paradise. Mike, along for the ride today?
Yes, yes. My nose is cold.
Back from a trip up north, we say.
Yes, yes. Although it was warmer there than it is here
today.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful Charlotte. I love Charlotte. Charlotte's a beautiful town and
wonderful.
A very, very nice progressive city.
Well, not Charlotte.
Well,
Asheville, maybe.
I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about it's a growing, booming
place. Oh, true.
Place
okay.
And,
that
you know, modern and
yes.
very nice.
Yes.
Very
yes.
nice city. I like it in Charlotte. Well, hey, we promised we were going to get to the calls. Do call us, 888-602-7500. Or 7501, 7502, 03, or 04. I got to figure out a better way to say that. But you can call us on our nickel. And right now, we got Mike in Fort Myers. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. Your New York Bureau pretty much stole some of my thunder. But that was going to be one of my points, too.
That's why we have him as the New York Bureau.
Well, exactly.
He's right on top of things.
He really is, because, you know, this economy is really at the expense of people that are working, and it's more work for less wages or the same wages, and if you're lucky enough to still have a corporate sponsored stock portfolio, then you have some temporary profits. But at some point in time here, there's going to be a situation where people are going to stop buying because there's not going to be enough people out there making enough money to buy anything other than just you know, the bare necessities of life, and then, you know, the whole house of cards is going to start to fall.
You see magazines like Simple Living or I think Simple Living or Live Cheaply or whatever. I mean, these things are going to start proliferating here soon, and people are going to be spending less. They'll be spending less on telecom. They'll be spending less on gas. It's going to happen.
I think they are right now. I'm closely associated with quite a few small business people. And I can tell you, my small business friends are hurting. They have their businesses up and running like they did a year ago, 2 years ago, many of them many more years than that. And they're getting just as many shoppers as they always have, but the people just are not spending money. Notice this when you go to the mall. Notice this when you go to a big flea market or wherever you happen to go. Notice how many people are carrying packages. A lot of them are out for the walk, and that's what I hear over and over and over again.
You know, it's almost like the Bush administration just does not care about people that have to get out there and do 40 hours a week for a living. I mean, you know, when they're doing things like, at least I perceive this way, they're opening the doors, you know, for foreign cheap labor to come in here and force people to work for less wages.
Well, but you know that, and
you know, Guy, and I don't even hear Republicans embarrassed about saying that this is one of their objectives is to keep prices down. Well, keep prices down, but it doesn't keep profits down. I mean, we still have the drive of people that own mutual funds and stocks wanting our mutual fund managers to get ever increasing profits for us, and the way they're doing that is taking it out of the workforce's pocket.
Well, that too, and then of course I've got this guy that sends me email. I delete most of it before I even read it, but he sends me this big email this week about what a great last quarter Walmart had, and I guess he doesn't know who he's sending that to. I mean, he does know, but he doesn't know how I feel about Walmart, or maybe just like to get my goat, as it were. But you know, don't write me and tell me how well Walmart did in the last quarter. They squeezed the blood out of their employees, and they squeezed the lifeblood out of small businesses.
Their suppliers.
So, you know, China Mart is what it should be called. It should be called China Mart.
Yes, it should. China Mart. I like
China
that.
Mart. That's like exactly that. What it should be. Uh-huh. And they squeeze their suppliers. They squeeze their employees. And they brutalize small business all across the country. And I would submit that company has done nothing to help America.
But there's a sick dynamic going on here. The worse things get, the more people that will go there.
That's right.
The bigger they'll get, and the more they'll keep wages depressed and not provide benefits and push it out onto states and counties and low-income programs.
But
I mean, that's going to collapse.
But hell, the people that work at Walmart can't even afford to shop at Walmart anymore. They got to go to Odd Lots or someplace like that.
That is so wrong.
Right. You know, fellas, I just reread a book that I read many, many years ago. It's called Trinity, and it was about the Irish Catholics in Northern Ireland, and basically it's a sort of a study of, I don't know if you read the book or not, of the plight of the have-nots and how that they eventually rebelled against, you know, England, and which spawned terrorism. And I wonder if that is in the future of this country within the next decade or so. I mean, are we going to end up with American terrorists here because our prospects are hopeless?
Well, you know, just go out and read Iron Heel by Jack London, or maybe It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis, and I'm sure everyone can figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
It's frightening to me to think, because I know that I am not that far abnormal than other people, and I get this anger inside of me at how, you know, the more pressure is being put on what I call the working class, just to hand more over to the wealthiest captains of industry and the wealthiest people in this country that are, you know, filling the campaign coffers of the Bush administration. I can't believe that people are not going to resort to violence. I just I mean, listen, we have a history of it with our unions, and those are that's the camp of people that are getting crushed.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Well, and, you know, we had these demonstrations over in Miami a while back with all the violence by the police, and there were union people beating on union people.
Union police beating up on retired union protesters. Can you believe that?
Retired UAW and United Steelworkers people over there and being beaten by union cops.
That didn't get a lot of airplay, did it?
73-year-old people getting beaten by union cops.
Well, I really enjoy your program, fellas. I wish we could get more conservatives and Republicans joining in the conversation here. You know, they do everything they can locally here to drive liberals out of the local talk show. They won't let you have any time, or they limit you. In my case, they tell me that I can call once every week or two or something like that.
They give you a schedule?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Last week, I was told I have a week before I can call back.
Well, we've...
And on that same day, there was that four guys called right after me that called every day for the past 4 or 5 days.
Well, we don't screen our calls. We don't limit our calls. I'm not saying we...
I don't understand why the people of this community don't realize that a free exchange of ideas, whether they turn out to be right or wrong or not, is the only way you ever get to the truth.
I'll tell you one of the things, and to be fair, I remember a local talk show host a while back, you know, had the same group of people calling every day, and it got a little stale. So I know there's some of that involved, but, I wouldn't want to have the same people call every day, but once a week, twice
variety.
A week, whatever. Yeah, variety is the spice of life. Mike, thanks so much for your call. Great hearing from you.
Today,
and tell your friends, all your liberal and friends, tell your conservative friends, too, about the program.
Have them call us. Actually, I took a little test recently on the conservative show, and it turns out that I almost scored as a conservative. I almost fell out. But so maybe I'm not as liberal as I think I am on some of the issues. But thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. We've got Andy in Seattle up next. Andy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy. How you doing today?
Andy, how's it going?
Oh, hey, man, it's going pretty good. You know, I called today. As normal, I'm out of the loop because I don't have my radio. I can't listen to you out here on the West Coast. But I called to give you an update on my campaign.
We want to know about it.
Well, you know, December the 16th, I don't know if you knew it or not, but I had a really nice press conference and we discovered now that in the state of Washington, specifically in King County, we had a 23-count convicted felon programming our vote counting machines here in the county.
Quality control, right?
A minor problem.
And he was convicted for installing back doors into computerized accounting software.
I heard about that. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then night before last, we had a very nice meeting. The League of Women Voters here in Seattle had a session with our current Secretary of State, Sam Reed, the Director of Elections for King County, and the Director of Elections for Snohomish County, and we pretty much shredded, sliced and diced them and left them in a little puddle there on the floor. The current Secretary of State, we had documentation that I went down and put a public records request in at the Secretary of State's office last Monday. The Diebold counties here in Washington State are all using uncertified software that could never be certified, and it was certified by the Secretary of State's office. So I asked him that question, and so did three other people, but he never quite answered it.
Well, would you?
I wouldn't either.
Andy, here's what really absolutely mystifies me. I have brought this up to some, and I've mentioned this before in this program, I brought up the black box voting problem to three or four high-level Democrats. I'm talking people, and I'm going to be fair to them. They're not here to defend themselves. But
slander them to some people that
everybody would know real well in the Democratic Party, and none of the three of them really give a damn about the black box voting issue. In fact, one of them flat out told me, I don't know why you're worried about this. Leave it alone. It's nothing. And I don't understand. I really don't.
You either have the sanctity of the vote or you don't have a democracy. I mean, you either can guarantee and be confident that your vote will be counted or you don't. And, you know, all bets are off if you don't.
Well, quite frankly, here in the state of Washington, I'm of the opinion now that my vote's not being counted correctly. We're looking for some smoking gun elections, and we think we've got a couple of them. I'm actually on Monday going to be going down to the local county officials and putting
Hello? I think he's on a cell phone, so he may have...
Think we might have lost his cell phone. Andy, glad to have you call us today.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Election.
I think he was on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right now, we've got Ray in New Haven. Ray, New Haven, Connecticut. Welcome to the program, Ray.
Well, thank you, Guy and Mike.
Hello, Ray.
Hey, it's been a while, at least 5 or 6 weeks, so I'm not abusing your hospitality.
No, not at all.
Of course not. Oh, hey. My goodness, no.
Hope you've all been well. Meanwhile, I've been active. I've got a new website in addition to liberalslikechrist.org. We now have JesusNoRepublican.org.
No, he probably wouldn't have been one. You're right.
He couldn't have been one.
It's time for all of those Christians who vote Republican to stop and think, and we're giving them the material to do so. The site is really a different design. It's got a newspaper-like design and articles like, Would Jesus Be a Republican in America Today? And Profit Motive, Not a Godly Value.
I think he would have been a Labor Party member, actually, or perhaps farther left than that, but that's just my opinion.
If he had a choice in America, he'd have only two choices among major parties. And if he didn't choose the Republican Party, well, guess what? Republicans, here's another article, Republicans that Jesus wouldn't be caught dead with.
This has got to be good.
And Jesus Christ, George W. Bush's leader. Here's another, the Moon-Bush Alliance. That's a great one.
That's some scary stuff, actually. Reverend Moon and their what was it? Not Reuters, not the other one. What do they own? They own the Washington Times.
Washington Times, yeah.
Yeah, well, they own more than that, but yeah, the Washington Times is part of it.
Not the Post.
Oh, another good one is Reagan, No Model of Christian Virtue. You know, the idea that these Christian Republicans think that Reagan was a moral or great president. You know, there's something like 140 of Reagan's people who were indicted and convicted of wrongdoing.
How many Clinton indictments were there?
Yeah, indictments.
Convictions.
And Ray, I always like to remind some. Just a quick side note. I always like to remind people when they're talking high and mighty morality of the Christian right. I always like to remind them that both Ronald Reagan and Pat Robertson married pregnant women. I just always like to let them know. That.
we have a section on our website, liberalslikechrist.org/blindleaders. Pat Robertson is honored there. And the story of the lies he told about his getting married prior to his wife being pregnant, etc. He just lied blatantly about it in public, and they let him get away with it.
Well, he's got this recent revelation, you know, about God told him that Bush is going to win in a walk.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's just criminal and sinful that Christians aren't more informed about the evil. I mean, if they want to claim that Democrats are evil, fine, but they can't claim that the Republicans are not evil. The immorality of the Republican Party, and it's just overwhelming. You know, the fellow who ran against Senator Lieberman here in Connecticut has been convicted on federal as well as state in federal and state court of molesting two girls, I think they were sisters or cousins,
mm-hmm.
under 12, 10 and 12, for a long time. I mean, this thing went on, this affair went on for months.
Sully the word affair.
Roland, which say, is he governor of Connecticut?
Yes, he's governor.
No,
and he's got a little problem right now as well.
Sure, he does. In fact, just yesterday I heard that three Republican state senators have come out requesting that he resign.
Yeah, and Roland's whole thing is that he's a good Christian and that he's been forgiven and all that noise, right?
Oh,
right.
These people all want to be forgiven without having to pay any price.
Yeah, I mean, you can be forgiven, all right. That's no problem. But
I'm one of those humanists that would like to see them pay the price here on the land of the living.
Right. Actually, one of the articles on this front page that you can go to is all about Republicans who are just so immoral. It's just incredible. incredible. It, not that they're a little bit immoral or that they're the exception. It's almost like the rule that these people are immoral. And Christians go around supporting them. I mean, if anything, Christians should, if they don't want to vote Democratic, they should definitely not vote Republican. Just stay home or find some third party to vote for. But
there you have it from the Christian left. Ray, thanks.
LiberalsLikeChrist.org or JesusNoRepublican.org. And if anyone has any stories about their particular locality about Republican immorality, I'd urge them to write to me at Ray@JesusNoRepublican.org.
Okay, Ray.
We'll add it to the paper.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call, Ray. We got to stop for a break now. We appreciate hearing from you.
Keep up the good work.
You're listening to the Guy James Show. I want you to give us a call. That's an order. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. You got that? And when we come back, we're going to do a few minutes of Republican love.
Ooh.
We'll be right back.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Starting at guard for the Miami Soul, at 5'3", the WNBA's 2001 Defensive Player of the Year, Debbie Black.
Hi, I am Debbie Black from the WNBA's Miami Soul. As the shortest player on the court, I have to work a little harder than everyone else, so I know what it feels like to have to catch my breath. But for people suffering with pulmonary hypertension, catching their breath is an everyday struggle. Today, there are over 100,000 people diagnosed with pulmonary hypertension, a lung disease whose symptoms include shortness of breath, chronic fatigue, dizziness, and chest discomfort. While there is no cure for pulmonary hypertension, there are treatments available that can help improve people's lives. But the first step is diagnosis. The Pulmonary Hypertension Association provides a community of hope, support, and education for patients and families affected by pulmonary hypertension. To learn more about the disease, its symptoms, and available treatments, visit www.phassociation.org or call 1-866-474-4742.
The environment we've created for ourselves has given pests the opportunity to create serious public health issues. Mosquitoes may transmit West Nile virus.
Cockroaches can trigger asthma.
Insect stings force 500,000 people to the emergency room every year.
And rodents could spread hantavirus.
But we can make it harder for these pests to survive.
To learn how, visit pestworld.org.
It's up to all of us, you know.
When it's hot out, I want to jump right into the water, but my mommy has rules about the pool. My mommy says being safe means never, ever go near the water without an adult, never climb a fence or open a gate that's around a pool, and learn how to swim, because swimming's fun. How did my mommy get so smart? The National Spa and Pool Institute sent her a free brochure about water safety. Your mommy can be smart, too. Call 1-800-323-3996 for a free brochure today.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back at you. Guy James here on the Guy James Show. Michael's sitting firmly ensconced in the chair to my left.
There's no safety belt or anything.
If you're looking at your radio, he would be on your right. But he is on my left.
I guess that would be the case.
Yeah, if you're looking at your car radio.
We're going to do a webcam anytime soon?
Anytime. Okay. You know, the pill popping drug junkie has one of those.
Exactly.
And
yes.
By the way, before I get into a few minutes of Republican love, good old Rush, you know, the guy that always wants everybody to take responsibility, personal responsibility.
Uh-huh.
He now has, a couple weeks ago, he was saying that the Democrats were out to get him.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't get him on the show, so they're going to get him this way. It was their fault.
Uh-huh.
And now, where do I have
he's
this?
A victim.
He is a victim, and he's being blackmailed. Limbaugh's defense in the money laundering investigation is that his housekeeper, quote, bled him dry blackmailing him. Ooh. His attorney, Roy Black, explained for his use of prescription painkillers. Black described Limbaugh as a victim who suffered, from a degenerative disc disease with, quote, pain so great that at one point doctors thought he had bone cancer.
You know, Black is a reason people just hate defense attorneys.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
I mean, he goes off and defends a Kennedy for a rape charge, and then he comes back and defends a right-wing Republican for drug charges.
Well, the story goes on. He said Limbaugh chose to take the addictive painkillers. See, it isn't his fault. Those damn painkillers addicted him.
Did he say he chose to take them?
Yes. Rather than have surgery to try and correct the problem, oh no, this is bad news right here.
Uh-huh.
Because doctors would have to reach his spine through his throat, which could threaten his career as a commentator. It's not money laundering to play blackmail and extortion, Black said. Now let me ask you something. if that story was broadcast all over the country, Black sat there with a straight face and said that.
Yeah.
If you're a 10 or 11 year old kid, would you understand the fact that if you're paying blackmail, that you're guilty of something?
No.
You wouldn't get that.
No, you wouldn't.
Okay. Well. I just always thought when you're paying blackmail that you were guilty as hell about something.
Yeah, from what he's saying, though, you wouldn't. You'd be like, well, he's just a victim, and he was just trying to protect himself. And he's, you know, they're just nasty Democrats, demo rats.
Biz, warm up the orchestra. We're going to do a few minutes of Republican love. That's what we're going to do.
We are.
Yes, we are. That we get letters cool. every week, you know. I got to admit, the group this week is somewhat subdued.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know whether we're taming them or the other ones are up north for, vacation.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Prison.
You know, they said it'd be a cold day in hell. Well, anyway, a lot of them are. We're going to start off. We get letters every week, and I like to pick a few and read them to you. And today they are rather sedate. Starting off, Guy James, every Democrat I have ever known was a damn liar, and you are not the exception.
Ay, ay, ay.
I wish he'd tell me what one of the lies was. That always puzzles me why they don't.
Facts.
He goes on to say, it's a fact that every Democrat, except for my father, has lied every time they opened their mouths, except his father. His father was an honest Democrat,
yeah,
but
course.
The rest of us are liars.
Of course.
Your whole show is nothing but lies. We didn't name one there, as we challenged him to do. Last week you said the Republicans had passed a bunch of legislation in the middle of the night so we wouldn't know what happened. Well, you need to tell it to Porter Goss because his office said it never happened. Well, I don't have a name on this. You see, letter writer, Porter Goss wouldn't know. He's our congressman, where I sit right here. He's our congressman. And with his attendance record, he probably has no idea when those took place or how they turned out. Because last time I checked, he had one of the lowest attendance records in all of Congress.
Wow.
It goes on to say, I don't understand why you would try and get away with such a huge untruth when you know someone might check out your story. You have a lot of nerve, but I caught you, didn't I? Ha, 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 ha. Well, we stand by our story on the six examples we gave you that were passed in the middle of the night on Friday night. We stand by that, and those are the facts. And anybody with any curiosity whatsoever can find that out in 30 seconds. Second letter, Mr. James, is there some reason let's start this again. I can't talk
let's
today.
Let's do it.
Is there some reason why you feel the need to insult Rush Limbaugh?
How many does he need?
Well, I don't really feel a need to insult him. I feel the urge to. I don't.
Desire.
Yeah. Going on, would you want a member of your family spoken of the way you spoke about Rush? Well, actually, no.
Well, you know what? If I had a family member, is that much of a... Whatever. Yes, I would.
Yeah, we would do an intervention in my family, and we would tell them, hey, shape the hell up, or you know, we're going to send you away. What if a member of your family had unbearable back pain and their prescription for pain medicine ran out? What would you do?
My mother. Yes.
You'd be lying if you said you would do anything other than what Rush did, and that was to seek help any way he could get it. I guess in the parking lot of Denny's, that's how you seek help.
You know, it's bull. It's all bull.
My family, I don't know about this writer, but my family seems to know all about doctors and such and how you can go get a prescription.
Get prescription.
Really, yeah.
Get medical care and stuff.
We've always done that. I guess we've been screwing up somehow.
I guess $37 million a year won't get you good coverage.
It goes on to say, it's very cruel of you not to have sympathy for the pain of another human being. Shame on you.
No, it's cruel of him to do what he did for the last 20 years.
Let me tell you, whoever wrote this letter, I'm not going to stop talking that about that until hell freezes over, and it doesn't look like that to happen anytime soon. We go on with the next letter. Hey, punk. Now, that's no way, that's disrespectful.
How to win friends and influence people.
Hey, punk. I think he's talking about you on this one.
Might as well.
He didn't distinguish, so I'm going to assume it's you.
I'll go with it.
Being the younger of the two, you would be more punk-like than I would. I deserve more respect.
Yes,
but younger people, they call them. Anyway, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'll take it.
He's going to take it. Okay, I'll read this to you then. Hey, punk. If I didn't have to work during your show hours, I would come down there and kick your ass for all the mean things you say about our president. I guess he means when I said he was a liar and a failure at everything he's ever done, I guess the guy didn't like that?
Apparently not.
Oh, well, very sensitive, I would say.
Republicans are awfully sensitive lately.
I'm still waiting to hear, you know, we put that challenge up. I'm still waiting to hear about the positive things he's done in his life, about any good work record he had or academic
war heroism or something.
Speaking contest, intelligence contest, anything like that. Parenting, good parenting, if he's done anything of that. I'm waiting. He goes on to say George Bush is the most, this makes me want to throw up. George Bush is the most heroic and brave man ever to sit in the Oval Office. Oh, my God.
That's the most asinine.
How could you write such a thing? How could you? It goes on to say, you are just jealous that Clinton got caught doing things he shouldn't in that sacred office, and George Bush hasn't been caught doing the same thing.
Oh, God.
He hadn't been caught doing the same thing.
That's silly.
Would he if he could? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just asking. Sacred office.
Sacred office.
Sacred.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wars don't count. Blowjobs do.
Yeah. All right. And been caught during the same. Okay. Goes on to say George Bush wouldn't do the things Clinton did with Ms. Monica because he is a man of God, and a man of God would never do those disgusting things Clinton did. Well,
no, he wouldn't. I'm sorry.
Well. I don't know about that. I've got some preacher friends. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that story.
I quit.
Okay. One last letter. You know, again, this one's very disrespectful, starting off again. I really don't like this. Whoever wrote this, I want you to know right now. Anyway, he goes on to say, ha, 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 you stupid joker.
Okay.
That's worse than the hey punk, I think.
Ha 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 ha.
What are you going to complain about now that the war is going beautifully and the and the economy is the best it's been in 20 years?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. I wonder if this guy heard the first part of the show today.
I definitely couldn't understand it if he read it.
Week after week, I hear you moan and complain about President Bush's economic plan and tax cut, and now the economy is booming. What are you going to say? Well, we said it in the first hour of the show today. The economy, frankly, sucks. I mean, that's just the only way you can put it. Unless you're listening to Karl Rove and the White House people. You must feel very stupid knowing that not only have we eliminated the terrorist of the world. Now, there's a headline.
Eliminated the terrorist of the world.
We have also caused, it should be a D on it, and an economic boom like never experienced before in this nation. I guess he forgot about 1992 to 2000.
I don't think it's worth even trying to explain to him.
Says, I believe that you owe our president and all who love him an apology. Well,
no.
Perhaps in the future you won't make such outlandish claims, Gerald. Well, Gerald. Don't hold your breath, my friend.
No, do.
All right. Well, go right ahead. And thus ends a few minutes of Republican love this week. My goodness, a disrespectful group, but they weren't as outrageous as some of them we've
had. A few months ago we were getting the ones where they were like, don't stand too close to an uncovered window, and I've got a 50 caliber, the elephant gun I'm going to get you with. And
so I think maybe a little more civilized here than in Naples.
Yes, they are. Fort Myers, yes, you're more civilized.
Hey, you can call us, at 1-888-602-7500. We've got a couple lines open, 888-602-7500, or 7501, 7502, 03, or 04. We got five toll-free numbers for your convenience. And all of you, especially you El Cheapos that complained that you didn't want to call long distance, there you go.
Yeah.
It's our nickel, and you can call to your heart's content
no
now.
Excuse.
So, that's right. And, you know, we did this one person here said the economy is booming. I'd like to know what the hell world he lives in. I'd like to know. Maybe he's a stock. He didn't exactly sound like a high-priced person, though, do you think?
Not especially.
But. No. But, yeah, I suppose if you've got a big portfolio and things. You know, I do want to remind you about this, though. I do want to remind you. The stock is nearly back to where it was. At the peak of Clinton's administration. It's nearly back there, and it may well reach there. But you see, folks, the idea is to have it improve, not get back to where it was.
Yeah,
as we've said before, and I like to, being a farm boy, I like to bring up the analogy, if someone comes out and steals, you got 10 hogs, and somebody comes out and steals your 10 hogs and brings you back 6 of them, he's no hero. You know, he took 4 of your hogs, but, you know, don't make nice with him just because he brought 6 of them back.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's, you know, that's the way this economy thing is. A lot of people lost their hind end in the market, and the sad part is a lot of the little folks had to get out of the market when it bottomed out.
And it's not just the market. It's not just the market. The market is not the economy.
Certainly not.
You know, Florida, parts of Florida live in our fantasy world, okay? I mean, you know, you've got a building boom. You've got a lot of money coming from other areas keeping these builders building, carpenters and all these people. So they feel like it's going fine. But, I mean, that's going to dry up because it's a 2-3-year process, and they haven't felt the full effect of it yet. They will. They will. And they, you know, and this fantasy world will not last forever. It simply won't.
Well.
It can't. Go around the country. It's not like it is in Naples. It's not like Sanibel Island in all of Texas or in Kansas or in Idaho or, you know, anywhere. We're an anomaly.
You know, I stopped down in Fifth Avenue in Naples the other day, and for those of you that have never been there, it's the Rodeo Drive of the East. It's an outrageously lavish, opulent street with wondrous shops and, you know, huge, expensive items. I mean,
I shop there weekly.
Do you now?
Yeah.
I don't. They don't even let me park my car on Fifth Avenue.
There is no parking. Well, there is.
But you drive through down through there, and there's, you know, the big 500 Mercedes and the 740 Beamers and Rolls Royces.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that's all they allow on that street. And I don't fit in that crowd. I probably would if I could.
I wouldn't if I could.
I wouldn't spend that much money on a car.
No, I'm
far too conservative for that.
I'm way too conservative for that.
Yeah, actually, Mike and I are conservative when we drive.
Wasting
out.
Money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't waste money.
No,
I wouldn't think of it. I actually resent sometimes, you know, the liberal aspect of being. I'm very, very conservative in my life, and I know you are in some of your.
Other than the smack and crack, I think I'm a very conservative person. I mean, it's just recreational, only on the weekends. I mean, after we get done here, I will a couple of bowls or something. But, I mean, it's not – it's conservative. It's not a liberal use of that drug.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, and you don't have $37 million a year to buy all the Oxycontin.
No, it's about 50 bucks a week.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, going back to my Fifth Avenue in Naples story, you know, I sat there and I went into the shop to see somebody I know, and I was thinking, these people don't know what we're talking about when we talk about the economy being
no, they
down,
don't.
About average Joe mm-hmm. not having, you know, having the wife out working, and you know, they don't know. They don't understand it, and probably never did and never will.
No, they will.
You think they will?
Yeah, they will. Just not yet.
Well, it's something. It's really outrageous. But I don't begrudge people their money. But
when it comes at the expense of others,
yeah,
I think I do.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, we've got to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show. We'll be right back after just a couple of minutes. You stay tuned. Now you hear
the Guy James Show.
to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James here with you, heading into the last hour of the program. I hope you stay with us up until 6 o'clock. We've got a lot more to talk about, don't we, Mike?
Yes, we certainly do.
We always have something to talk about. We've been discussing our idiot king this afternoon. I know a lot of you think that's disrespectful of me to talk about the man that way, but that's the way I feel about him. And you want me to be honest, don't you?
Yeah. Don't people earn respect? Have to earn it?
Yeah, they do. And in my mind, Junior just, he's an unelected fraud, and he's never done anything to distinguish himself in his life. And I do want you, once again, I always challenge all of our right-wing friends to give us a call and let us know about any great achievements the man's had in his life. And we don't want any, I think he did this, and I think we want some proof. And, if you want to talk about his distinguished business career, we'll be glad to discuss that. In fact, we'll be glad to discuss any of the Bush's distinguished business career.
Yeah, and all of their nice business partners that are involved in that. Yeah,
let's talk about the Bush family if you want to. If you want to talk about, well, Neil has had a distinguished business career.
Oh, yes, Silverado.
And Jeb has had a distinguished business career.
Oh, the Miami. How much did he get paid for being a salesperson in Miami?
Well, he's the smartest
one. For not doing anything.
But, he's just folks, please somebody, convince me or tell me, give me some reasoning of how in hell anyone could ever think that anybody in that Bush family is worthy of being the president of the United States. Because, we got old Jebster. The old Jebster's figuring on following Junior.
Don't threaten me like that.
Well, he's going to. he's going to try and follow him, This fascinates me.
I have a question. Why are blue-collar Republicans, and there are a few of them, okay, I always think people should have to work and earn things. Work and earn. Nothing handed to you where you don't have to do anything.
Well, there's certainly no example been set by anybody in the Bush family of working and earning. It just hasn't happened.
They're defending the people that spit on them. These are the people that look at them and think, you're trash. You're white trash. You're just trash. You're scum. But you sit there and you work in our store and we'll pay you a few bucks and you'll vote for us because we'll throw in abortion or maybe some gun junk that doesn't mean diddly to anything.
I know. That's how it is. They only see one thing from you then. They see that vote. They see that vote. They're going to convince you that you've you've been downtrodden and taken advantage of by
them. Yeah, you have been. By them.
Yeah, exactly. And yet you don't realize it. Somebody explain that to me. Give me some reason why the Bush family, on the whole, would have any moral authority to run this country whatsoever. I can't see it.
Thought we were a democracy.
I just can't see it. We've got Mary in Naples on the line. Mary, welcome to the program, Mary.
I think Michael just answered your question. It's just the wedge issues. It's nothing else. You can't account for it. But I have just hold my mainstream media in such low regard. But I have to say, I have to take exception to them describing the job situation better than they've explained anything in 2 or 3 years. And one exception I'd like to make about Lou Dobbs, it's not that Lou Dobbs is no liberal, it's that Junior is no conservative.
I agree there.
Good point.
It's obvious. And I'll just say, I don't watch Lou Dobbs very often because he's just not of my bent, but lately when the news gets to go into the magazine half of that they inevitably go into. I have been watching Lou, and I watched him last night, and I watched him the night before last. And I'm telling you what, Lou Dobbs, who I guess you have to say is quite suave and cool, he was almost out of his chair with the guy from the Chamber of Commerce over this immigration issue.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he. I mean, really. I mean, he was just. I mean, he. As a matter of fact, the way it ended up, and I've seen both of these guys many a times, it ended up with Lou saying, "Well, you know, I hope you'll come back." And the guy said, "God, I hope you'll have me." I mean, because it really got just that heated.
Nice.
So, like, when the news gets, you know, the network news goes into their magazine part, it's worth turning over to Lou. He's been, I think, for about 3 weeks now. He's had a series with Exporting America. And at the end of it, which is, as I say, usually when I watch it, he has a lot of emails. And I'm telling you, people are a lot more disgusted than you think. They're disgusted about these jobs going overseas. And, I mean, Lou's got a standing tally. And the last time I watched it, he said, okay, maybe what we should do, rather than listing all the companies that are sending jobs overseas, maybe we should have a shorter list and somebody send me in some companies that are not sending them overseas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people are really, I mean, when he reads their email, people are paying more attention than I guess most of us think. And also, I'm a big C-SPAN listener, and I'm telling you, I'm hearing people, they're mad about this NASA business. I mean, putting us, the only person I heard that approved this NASA business was because he wanted to be able to shoot rockets down from there or something, you know, to defend us from the terrorists, to save us from these box cutters. By having a missile site on the moon.
So he's is he okay? Well, I mean, interesting
you know,
view.
I mean,
wow.
Some foolish person.
Well, you know, somebody's going to have to take a stand on this outsourcing and all that that's going on right now. You know, you hear one company after another saying, "Well, we have to do it. We have to do it to remain competitive."
Well,
isn't
fair
there,
trade?
Isn't there a strong company out there that can say no? No, the buck stops here. Damn it, we're not going to do it. We ask you to patronize us because we're going to keep jobs here in America. Isn't there somebody that can do that? Is there somebody that will do it?
I'm sure there are a few, and there are responsible businesses out there, and we need to put their name out. We need
there
to do that.
There are a few, but I think that what would help a lot is if people would not shop at Walmart.
Absolutely.
That is our biggest enemy. I will drive to Fort Myers before I will go to any of the Walmarts, and that has been true for, I think, about 8 years now. And if people don't understand, I don't know if anybody saw Bill Moyers last week. But did anybody see Bill Moyers?
Oh, I know a lot of people have, yes.
But, you know, and when you see that and how real that is, and it's the same thing as bringing the immigrants in, except for the, you know, even the immigrants aren't sure about this because it's only for 3 years. And then what if they have to go back? And what about the kids they had here? I mean, it's like it's really, it's so ill thought out. But listen, I want to pass on some good news. One is, you know, Ben Cohen's Pants on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well, they're in Florida right now. So they're looking for people to drive it around towns in Florida and or to at least have a place for it to park if you can't drive it around. So I invite anybody that would like to see that going around their town, and I know I sure would. I think it's hysterical. Do go to Pants on Fire and see if you can help out. And the other thing is, you know, one other thing is, you know, I really believe that Junior got all the votes last time he's going to get. And I don't think anybody should be so worried about it.
Well, I hope you're right.
I mean, who didn't vote for him last time and vote for him this time?
Don't sell some of these people short. There's
former mayor of New York said something like that the other day, didn't he, Coach?
How about old Zell Miller?
Yeah, Zell, he's another example.
Yeah. Mary, we thank you so much for your call.
Okay,
we got calls stacked up and got to go, and we thank you very, very much.
All right, well, just one other thing.
Okay.
Pray. I don't believe in praying on politics, but pray that Judge Moore runs because, you know, he might run for president.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a Handmaid's Tale in real.
Yes, okay. Yes, indeed it would.
Just keep it in mind.
All right,
thanks. Bye.
Let's see here now. Who do we have up next? We've got Gene and Benita. Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy. How are you and Michael doing?
Well, we're good. Thank you.
Fabulous.
I didn't call for this reason, but listening to that last caller reminded me of myself just last month. Christmas Eve, I'm out. I've got a couple of kids I got to buy presents for. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, stuck up there for the holidays. And I've got to buy last-minute presents. The only thing open in town is a Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? I go to the Texaco station and buy Christmas presents.
Score!
All
yes.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Any, you know, the Walmartization of America.
Right. I just absolutely remember
Thank you.
I refuse to go to Walmart. If I have to go to a dadgum Texaco station to go Christmas shopping, I'll do it. But anyway, another thing I called about was to say, hey, you got a great show and a lot of calls. We're not hearing anything from the right today, but that's, I guess you've got them intimidated or scared to death, or maybe they just don't want to face the truth.
Truth well, hurts.
Yeah, it does sometimes. One thing, and I'm a supporter of the show and always have been. I haven't heard you say where your money comes from, and I know this is a listener-supported show. You may have mentioned it, but I wanted to call in and make sure that your Fort Myers audience and all the people listening on the Internet around the world understand that the only way this show stays on the air is from listener donations, and it's real simple to do. All they got to do is go to the GuyJamesShow.com on the Internet and click a PayPal button and send in $5 or $10. And do that once a month, and this show will go forever. It's real easy to do. We've got supporters all over the world, and I'm one of them. And enough of us get in here and help. It costs very little to get the truth on the radio and hear from the left and keep it alive. Guy James' show is over a year old now, and we were told we wouldn't last 6 weeks. So, Guy, I'm proud of what you're doing, you and Michael and everybody associated with the show. You're hanging in there and getting the message out. Now you're in a bigger market in Fort Myers, and I'm sure your Fort Myers audience is going to grow when they find you that you're there. And another thing I want to mention, for all the Democrats out there listening to the show, and I know there's thousands of you, you might feel helpless, but you're not. Of course, supporting the Guy James Show is one great way to support your party and to elect Democrats and to put a Democrat in the White House. But another great way is to get involved with your local clubs. All over Fort Myers, there's clubs. There's Tracy's got a great club out at Dunbar. There's a terrific club, Tony Lombardo's club, the Greater Fort Myers Club, the Dowlings and Joyce and all of them out on Sanibel Island have a great club. And Bonita, just a thrilling club to be a part of. The Bonita Springs Club under the able leadership of Martha Simons. And there's great clubs all over in Collier County. John Coolidge has a great club, the Collier County Club, the Immokalee Club. There's always a way to get involved. So I just would implore everybody out there, if you want to get involved in the party, don't know exactly how to do it, you can call the Guy James Show, get some phone numbers, but get involved in your local Democrat club. One last thing, I'll let you go, Guy, and get back on issues. Coming up March 6th is going to be one of the most spectacular nights in Democrat history in Collier County, the big annual gala. A lot of great speakers are coming. Some national celebrities are coming. I'm not at liberty to say who some of the special guests are, but I can tell you right now one of them is going to be accompanied by the Secret Service.
Whoa.
So it's that level of participation. The big annual gala, March the 6th in Collier County at the Naples Bath Tennis Club. It's going to be incredible. Big fundraiser for the Democrat Party. I'll let you go. Michael, you and Guy James, keep up the great work. Folks listening, don't take it for granted. Send a buck or two in. I'm sure Guy will appreciate it. Guys, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks, Gene. Yes, we do. We do want to let you know that we are a listener-supported show, and the show has been successful because of you. Because of all the great Democratic clubs in our area and for donations all around the country. And so we hope you'll continue to help us out with the program, and we'll continue to bring you good programming from the left. And that's a promise. We'll give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every week. Well, who do we have on here right now? I think we got Stephanie in Indiana. Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, guys. Mike, how are you guys doing?
Welcome. We're doing great.
Other stuff in there.
Lots of Stephanie's here today.
Yeah, I want to say I have to totally agree with the previous caller. Get involved locally. I'm the chairperson for my precinct, and we've shaken up the little town I live in.
There's excitement building. There is.
Well, you got to start from the ground up, though.
Yep.
You know, because if everybody does their own little 2 to 5 mile radius, get involved with the county politics, join the clubs. And it's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of people. And once you mobilize, have a few fundraisers, you can get your candidates some money to campaign on.
Can you speak up a little bit, Stephanie?
You can get your candidates some money to so that they can get out and run their campaigns. You got to watch, though. Republicans are dirty, even at the low level.
We've heard that.
They've pulled some nasty little tricks around here, but I've been on to them. And
well,
I live in a small town, and we shook them up this last election.
Hey, we live in Florida. We know all about Republican dirty tricks.
Back in 2000, I think there were a couple or another.
Well, this next 4 years, our little town is going to be governed by the people for the people instead of by the family for the family.
Fabulous.
Exciting. And I boycott Walmart, and I have a theory, and then I'm going to let you go. You were talking earlier, I think, about why people that don't benefit from Republican policies and their platform vote for Republicans.
Yes.
And just speaking generally from this area, I think it's kind of a popularity contest because a lot of the Republicans, it's kind of a small farm town. However, generally in Northwest Indiana, it's a Democratic area because it's been industrial.
Oh, sure.
Of course. Now, hardly anybody has jobs, but, you know.
You up near Hammond, up in that area?
I'm sorry?
Are you up near Hammond, up in that area?
Yeah, I'm probably about 40 miles east of Hammond.
Okay.
Okay? It seems to me that the guys that, you know, vote Republican, it's a popularity contest for them. They want to be popular with the families in the town. And I think it's because the families have run the town. I don't know if they actually do anything for these people. You know, I don't really understand it myself, but that's my perception
okay.
from what I've seen.
All right. Stephanie, thank you so much for calling. We do appreciate your call. Call us back anytime.
I'm sending a donation. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
Get back on my dial-up and listen some more.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, and you guys have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
We've got a couple callers on the line. We're going to ask you to hang on. We're going to be right back after just a couple of minutes break that we got to take. You're listening to the Guy James Show. Call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We got a couple lines open. We'll get back to the phones right after this.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
As Americans once again plan their overseas vacations, here are some tips. Get to the airport well in advance and do not overpack. If visiting Iceland, for example, the closest European country, pack as if going to New England and emphasize layered clothing. The seafood is ocean fresh, caught daily in the cold waters of the North Atlantic. Game and lamb are raised in the time-honored organic way and are incredibly delicious. Reykjavik is a charming and safe city to walk with amazingly clean air and beautiful historic buildings and churches. One of the great appeals of Iceland is that unspoiled nature is nearby, abundant, and breathtaking. Exploring a glacier by snow scooter, snowmobile, or super jeep is an unparalleled experience. Pure, natural, unspoiled, the way life should be. Come see for yourself, Iceland naturally. For free information, check out www.icelandnaturally.com.
This is Fight Back, Talk Back, the program that asks the question, do you have a con? Do you have a scam? Do you have a ripoff? Are you troubled by something? Do you need help on a consumer problem? And we have an open line. All you have to do is run your finger across the pad, and through the miracle of radio, you will be here in our studio talking to us.
Join Dana Horowitz and Fight Back, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m., right here on WPTK, Power Talk 1200.
Now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Back at you here with the Guy James Show. Guy is sitting here and so happy to be with all of our friendly listeners and even our unfriendly listeners. We're
they've
glad
been
to have
nice,
along.
Too. I like them all today.
They've been quiet today.
They've been quiet, but they've been nice. The ones that have been pretty pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. We only had one caller. We had one from the right, and he was very reasonable and a nice guy, and we hope to, you know, that's the kind of discussion we like to have. We can sit down. We have differences. You know, I don't disagree with everything every Republican ever did, and I don't think a reasonable Republican would disagree with everything the Democrats have ever done. There's no reason, you know how polarized it is now that, you know, both sides pretty much are saying, I don't give a damn what the other side does. It's wrong.
And
Bush is a uniter. He's united the left.
Oh, you know, that's one promise he kept. He united everybody. He united the world against us. Hey, getting back to the phones, and first let me give you that number again. We got plenty of time to call us. We got over a half hour left in the program. 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. So give us a call. We got plenty of time. Got a couple lines open. Right now we're going to John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
I'm a blue-collar worker. I started out in construction work, working for other people, and decided to go in business for myself. And I can tell you I vote Republican, and the only reason that is because voting Libertarian wouldn't get me nowhere to begin with.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't at this point, no. I'll be honest with you. I don't like the two-party system the way it's set up either. I'd fall on the other side of that Libertarian coin, but either way, I can understand. I don't like it. I wish there were other choices.
John, why do you vote Republican?
Because I believe that every time I turn around, you know, like you say, there's things Republicans do that upset me and just ain't what I want, but more often than not, there's a Democrat looking to tax me in another way or another to help support somebody that wants a raise or wants to get their union workers together to get a raise when they don't deserve a raise. I'm the one in charge of the raise. When I'm being taxed just for being self-employed, there's a self-employment tax. I'm taxed because I was brave enough to go out there and start a business. I'm taxed because I own so much equipment. I'm taxed because I make so much money a year. When I don't make that much money a year, because it goes back to the equipment, back to my dang employees, when I'm having to match their taxes and their Social Security and the Medicare.
Well, now, John, you live in Fort Myers, right?
Yes, sir.
You do realize that the politics in Fort Myers locally here in Lee and Collier County are controlled exclusively by Republicans.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones taxing you.
You do understand that, don't you?
Yeah, I understand that.
And
now,
as far as some of these local taxes you mentioned here are taxes that Republicans have put on you.
Self-employment tax. A Democrat designed that and helped put that in legislation. Matching tax funds. That was a Democrat idea. Matching Social Security funds. That was a Democrat idea.
Do you think that's bad, the Social Security?
You're dang right. If they ought to be paying as much for their Social Security as I'm paying. I'm paying for myself totally, and I'm having to pay for half of theirs. They ought to pay for their whole thing. You wouldn't believe the number of people that think once they go out and become self-employed, they don't realize how much taxes is there until they get out there and do it.
Oh, I've been there, John, and I still, despite the taxes, and you make a good buck, you're going to pay a good buck in taxes, and I accept that. I can't say I agree with every tax that's ever put in. It's particularly here in Southwest Florida. There's a lot of taxes that are just nitpick you to death. But they're not exclusively Democrat taxes.
Well, I understand that, and I'm that's fine. But when you I sit there and watch the House on my cable TV and watch the House and the Senate and what they're arguing about, and eight, not nine times, I'd say seven times out of ten, it's a Democrat saying, we need to do more for the workers. We need to take more money from these large corporations. I'm incorporated. I got me and another employee, and I'm incorporated. And I am not a big corporation, and I do not need more corporate taxes. And that's for damn sure.
Do you agree with the fact that General Electric Company that owns NBC last year actually got a tax rebate of $15 million?
Hey, more power to them. They made it in the world.
You really think that? Do you really think that a company should not pay any tax and actually get a rebate?
If they work out, if it works out right, yeah. Why punish them? They make a good product. They make something that everybody wants. They employ thousands of people. Why try to get them to where they make no profit at all? If they don't make a profit, why do they want to be in business?
Well, wait a minute. They got shareholders, and the shareholders have made a good buck off of their stock. And that's okay to make money on stock. But for a major corporation in this country not to pay any tax and actually get a rebate, that's just plain wrong. It's just plain wrong.
Why is that?
That's corporate welfare. It's absolutely corporate welfare. And you want
to
talk about welfare, the welfare that we have in this country, the personal welfare that people like to hang on and use as an issue anymore has been cut so drastically that it's not even a big issue anymore. Not at all. In fact, during the Clinton administration, they got rid of so much of the welfare, and I agree, it was out of hand, but it isn't anymore. But now the big money goes to corporate welfare, and I think that's wrong.
Well, there's a lot of wrong. My employee, he makes $800 a week. I pay him $800 a week. He takes home about $500 of it because he works for the first 2.5 to 3 days of a 6 to 7 day week to pay for his taxes. And he's employed by me, and I'm having to pay another $300 a week for his taxes.
Well, that's one of the evils of a democratic society. We're going to have to pay taxes.
We're not a democratic society. Get it out of your head. We're a republic.
Well, you're nitpicking, but
no, sir. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and all the Federalist paper is not nitpicking.
You've been listening to too many right-wing talk shows.
You
my
vote
friend.
For representatives. That's democratic.
That's
whether it's pure democracy or not, it doesn't matter. That's a right-wing talking point that's not acceptable. Sorry.
It doesn't matter when you're trying to get your point across and trying to get your little agenda going. It doesn't matter. It's nitpicking. But
Do you vote for representatives?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is that democratic or not? You're talking about system of government versus the actual political system. You've confused the two.
No, sir.
You have.
That's why I understand that when George Bush got elected, he got elected by the Electoral College and not by some old fart that didn't understand how to read a freaking ticket. I understand how the Electoral College works. Not nothing like you Democrats that want to sit there and bitch and moan about it. He won the election by the Electoral College because that's the way it's set up in the Constitution to be done. Not by the number of votes, not by a Democratic vote, by Electoral College.
You're right. The Electoral College put Mr. Bush in office with the help of the Supreme Court.
So that man deserved
it. It was a vote in the Supreme Court, too, huh?
Again. Do what?
It was a vote in the Supreme Court. 5-4. That's what did it. That's what did it. 5-4 in the Supreme Court. Yeah, very democratic. The Supreme Court, people have been put there for life.
Right,
basically
right.
Voting for it. So we're not a democracy. You're right. We aren't a democracy. We're a totalitarian system. If you like that, fine. Love it. I mean, fine.
When they were forced into it because a bunch of whiny-hiny Democrats didn't believe that...
Whiny-hiny Democrats? Republicans were whiny-hiny the entire time.
No,
yeah, they were. Jim Baker bitched and moaned the entire time.
Who asked for the recount?
Who sent the mob down to Palm Beach County to intimidate the counters? Who did that?
Miami.
There was no mob there.
Huh?
Republican staffers were sent there to Miami. It was the Brooks Brothers riot.
I have the pictures and identity of every one of them.
Every one of them.
I'm sure you do.
I do.
Facts wouldn't make a difference to you, would
it? And they were sent there to intimidate those people to stop the count. And it worked.
I'm sure it did. There was no need for a recount.
Oh, I see. Okay. Hey, we're going to move on, John.
Yeah.
Move on. Yeah, don't want to hear nothing else, do we? Goodbye, you bunch of commies.
There we go. There you go. We finally got to it.
Yeah.
Here's
an
ass that calls in, and I'm sorry, that's what he is. When you end the conversation with you're a bunch of commies, there we learn the true specter of this man's character and his...
Name-calling.
Name-calling. It always ends up to that. When you end up looking like a fool on the issues, you start the name-calling. And he was completely representative of what we always talk about. Don't deal in facts. Deal in... he used the old thing about welfare. How many years are they going to beat on that? Welfare is not a problem in this country anymore. It's the corporate welfare that is. But he doesn't want to look for the facts, and he comes out looking like an idiot. But that's okay.
Hey, how much did Enron pay in taxes before they went belly up?
Yeah.
-6%.
Exactly. Hey, we got Damon in Houston, Texas. Damon, welcome to the program.
How y'all doing?
Great.
First of all, let me wish you a belated Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir.
I can't help but sound sane after that last I'm kind of glad I came on.
It is so typical. You know, they try and come in and sound like a reasonable Republican, and always before it's over with, they start that, typical crap. So, that's how it goes.
They revert to type.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I wanted to get you guys insight on was this. Do you think it's possible, reasonably possible, for a Democrat to be elected president, given the incredible bias of the so-called mainstream news media? Just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, a few weeks ago, Tim Russert was on Jay Leno's show. And during the course of the interview, Russert made a joke about Gore's claim that he had created the Internet.
Oh, boy.
Now, you and I know that Al Gore never said
no,
that.
Never no, never did.
Yeah, but my point is when the right-wing propaganda machine is feeding so much information into the so-called mainstream media to the point where it becomes, like the common line.
Sure.
Do Democrats even have a prayer since they don't have anything comparable to counteract that? I mean, they're already, you know, painting Dean as being, you know, a hothead and all this kind of stuff, the way they painted Al Gore as being a serial liar. How can the Democrats win when they've got such an incredible disparity as far as getting their message out?
Well, we are at a disadvantage. I mean, there's no question about it. We're out here where we're at. We like to always let everybody know. It's 150 hours of right-wing radio per week, and right. It's three from the left. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, and what really disturbs me, you know, of course, stuff like, you know, Limbaugh and the right-wing talk show hosts and Fox News and all of that, I think most, you know, sane people realize that they're biased. But what bothers me is when these people feed this information onto, you know, ABC, CBS, and, you know, Time and Newsweek, you know, they feed that propaganda to them to the point where even the so-called mainstream news organizations repeat that stuff over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, in that new, Lying Liars and the Lies,
yeah,
or
Al Franken's
book, he goes through a whole, basically the steps that it goes through. First, you have these online or these far-right journals or magazines or think tanks, which is an oxymoron. Anyway, you have them go off and create a story. Then what they do is they keep repeating it, and then they send it out to, let's say, Rush, and he repeats it as,
right.
Oh, this think tank said this, and then it just keeps going, and it ends up in maybe a sanitized form in the main media, the CBS, NBC's, you know, all those different places. But it starts back there, and it just works its way up. And they know how it works because they know they have to report it.
Well, I listen to these right-wingers now and then, and the reason I do listen to them is to find out what the talking points are going to be coming up for the weekend. Just like that last caller.
Talking points.
He was parroting. This is not a democracy. This is a republic. Where do you think that guy figured that out for himself? I don't think so. He heard it from a right-wing radio host. That's where he heard it.
Right.
So, you know, that's how it works. Hey, Damon, we got to move on. We got a bunch of callers waiting. We thank you so much for your call.
Great talking to you. You all have a great year.
You Thanks too. For calling.
Take care.
Okay. Hey, you still got time to call. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, or 7504. Right now, we're going to go to Rick in Cape Coral. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I've been listening about an hour, so therefore, what I want to say changes every 5 minutes. And I want to somewhat talk about businesses and the fact that we have a recovery without jobs, a jobless recovery. And it somewhat touches on the frustration the previous caller to the last gentleman, the business owner guy, the young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the conclusion, since I've owned businesses, that to open this up, I actually think someone's an idiot to open a factory in America. And the reason why I think that way is like, if you look at all the stuff you have to deal with in this country versus having a factory in like China, you would actually be nuts to do so, because you can get sued almost with a drop of a dime here. You got to pay all these taxes that gentleman did talk about. You have to worry about unions, OSHA. You have to worry about equal opportunity stuff, because if you hire someone of an opposite gender or a different race than you, then you're going to have a problem firing that person if you need to. You can't fire somebody if they're an alcoholic. That's a protected handicap. So after a while, if you're saying to yourself, why would I want to manufacture washing machines in America? Well, I can go to China, pay, you know, $2 or $3 a day, which is true, and not have to deal with a single social potential problem in America. So what we're having is a recovery where we are still selling things to people who have some jobs, but all the manufacturing is being done offshore.
Yeah, it
and
is.
The only way to solve that problem, now, neither the Republican Party or the Democratic Party will solve the problem. The Republican Party, let's say they're owned by big business, because let's say that. They're going to help the big business build their factories offshore and import the products for cheap, because they're going to make the spread, the difference. So the Republican Party is not going to help the working man. The Democratic Party wants to load all these social programs on the factory owner. They're not going to tell the factory owner, okay, let's back off on this and that and this. And therefore, the poor guy in the middle is going to get mistreated by both parties.
I agree with a little bit of what you said, but here's what I want to know. The middle class years back in the 60s and 70s was flourishing.
Yes.
And the middle class was made
pretty much by unions here in this country. Certainly helped the middle class along. I believe in the rights of workers.
Oh, as well as Social Security, taking the burden of taking care of your elderly parents. That also helped.
So business flourished, and here's the difference, the way I see it. In those days, in the 60s and 70s, when the middle class was flourishing, and now they're starting to die off, it's because of greed. And it's because of greed from the people at the top. The disparity, if you look at the disparity now, at the income from the at the people at the top that own these or are the major shareholders in these companies, they've gotten more and more and more. And people at the bottom that work have gotten less and less and less. The money has shifted, and it's not been. There's always. I understand the fact that there's more taxes and more rules and regulations and politically correct things that are going on now. But still, business always thrived. But there wasn't the disparity that there is now between the top and the bottom. And it's unadulterated greed that's got us to where we're at.
But it's possible to kill a business by putting so much regulation, it gets to the point it actually starts to kill them. And since the 60s and 70s, not only has that happened, but what has happened to the world economy is now that we have huge container ships, we have very cheap airfare, so now it is possible to move your factory offshore to escape the increased social programs, at the same time cheap enough to bring the products back in. So we're getting hit with all these things at one time.
So what's the answer here? What are you pointing towards here?
Yeah, there's two answers. One answer is, if you want to sell something in America, you have to make it in America. Number two, the government, now that's going to be against the big corporation. That's the one there. If you want to sell it here, you make it here. Or, wherever you import it from has to have the exact same social restrictions or regulations as you have here.
Oh, fair trade as opposed to free trade.
We don't have fair or free trade. We have a very mangled policy. We have a, like they say, a race to the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
But you get companies like, people have to be reasonable. Corporations have to be reasonable. You know, there's all these stories about people like Walmart. They'll squeeze you for a penny. They'll take a job overseas for 2 cents an hour difference.
But who drives Walmart? The consumer.
Absolutely.
Now, there's greed on both ends. There is greed to make as much
money.
It's
a vicious cycle.
It's not greed on the consumer's part. It's survival.
Hold on. There is a greed, and I've seen it in my businesses, to see how cheap you can buy something. Now, to greed and saying, I don't want to pay up money, is just as bad as greed for give me more money. It's a form of greed. And what happens is these corporations like Walmart make their money off this greed, and therefore they end up buying stuff offshore, and it's a vicious cycle. 10% of everything China exports is bought by Walmart.
Hey, you've been reading the same things I have. I was about ready to say that.
They should change the name to China Mart.
Yes,
now,
yes, they ought
this
to.
This Christmas, one more thing. This Christmas, I went shopping, and I do most of my shopping at Costco because it's cheap, and at Home Depot. In Costco, I bought 17 items. Only one, the Bounty Towels, was made in America. When I was at Home Depot, and I was having some paint mixed so I could stand around, right across the aisle is all their hand tools, the power tools, the power drills. I looked at every power tool, every single power drill or tool was made in China. I walked over to the lighting department. Every lighting fixture, and I'm not making this up because I was astounded, every lighting fixture was made in China. I stood there and looked at this building and said, oh, my God, probably 80 to 90% of the stuff in here is from offshore. That means it's not made in America.
And it's only a matter of time until the paper towels are made there as well.
Yeah, here's a good one. Remember when Khrushchev said, we will bury you?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't talking about, you know, in a pile, in a hole in the ground with dirt on top. He meant in product. In shoes and TVs and stuff like that. He was wrong. However, China is taking what he said to the max.
They're smart.
Yeah. Well, for one, it's a totalitarian capitalist society.
Oh, perfect.
It's a state capitalism, and there are no workers' rights to
mm-hmm.
speak of.
Mm-hmm.
There are no safety things to speak of. They're not communists. They're basically hardcore state capitalists.
But the thing is, it will catch up with them as well.
They'll have a second revolution.
Yeah, they'll have all the rules and restrictions that we have here, and the taxes and so forth, and then they'll be exporting jobs to Zambia or someplace like that. You know, that's how it'll be.
Well, people were complaining about the maquiladora industries and the NAFTA sending all the jobs to Mexico. Now the jobs in Mexico are shipping right off to China and then India.
Whoever thought the Indians and Mexicans would be outsourcing jobs to other countries, you know, never thought so. Rick, we thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Call us anytime. Great call.
Yes, sir.
Let's see here now. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. Call us. You got a few minutes to call us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503. We got a couple open lines, and we'll be right back after this.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
It's funny, I never used to think about my vision. But one day everything started to look a little blurry, right in the center of my eye. Then I really got worried when the newspaper print started to look wavy. The doctor told me I have a disease called macular degeneration, and that I could lose all of my central vision. I was very upset to think about giving up driving and reading, or that one day I might not be able to see the faces of my grandchildren. Luckily, I discovered the Foundation Fighting Blindness. They sent me a wonderful information packet, and they told me about a great new clinical trial right in my area, testing a promising new treatment that could halt my vision loss. To find out more about this and other treatments for macular degeneration, and to receive your free information packet, call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-216-2002. That's 800-216-2002.
You want to hear me imitate Ozzy Osbourne? I, Sharon, there's a turd on the floor, Sharon.
Listen to Phil Hendry.
Hey, Sharon, there's a effing dog turd on the floor.
Will you shut up and let me read this?
Don't you think that's a good impression?
Of who?
Of Ozzy Osbourne. Hey, listen to this. Hey, Sharon, look at me. I dropped a turd in me pants.
Join Phil Hendry weeknights at 7 only on Power Talk 1200.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you. You're listening to the Guy James Show, coming to you live from Naples and Fort Myers, actually Fort Myers, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget that. Those people down in Naples always like you to say their name first, but Fort Myers is quite a nice city.
It's a status
in and
issue.
Of itself. A beautiful place. If you've never been here, come on down. It's warm and nice and pretty, and you couldn't live in a more beautiful place in the whole United States, that's for certain. We've got, who do we got? And by the way, call us 888-602-7500. If you agree or disagree with what we have to say, we'd love to have you call us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Bill in Fort Myers, go. Glad to have you with us.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
I can't believe what's happened this week. And one good thing out of it, I don't think you're ever going to get another conservative call you and accuse the Democrats of class warfare after this week.
No.
With the Republicans, they want to get rid of your overtime wages. They want to let the illegal immigrants all be legal and crush the working poor, crush the unions.
Can you speak up at all, Bill?
And a lady earlier mentioned the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I was watching it on C-SPAN. When they got the news about this immigrant thing, they were drunk with joy. I wish the Democrats would get a film of that U.S. Chamber of Commerce just cheering like they were out of their minds with delight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we always heard that we can't reform immigration. The Democrats want the votes, and the Republicans want the cheap labor. But and I love this term, guest worker, can't vote. So the Republicans have it now. They've got the cheap labor to crush any hope of having a good working situation with people that can't vote, and it just couldn't get any better for them.
But the legals that are here that have become American citizens are going to see all this good works toward their fellow people, and they're gonna vote Republican. A few of them are. That's what it's after. I mean, that's
well, the legals should be very insulted because they follow
yes.
the rules. They do what they were supposed to do, and now they've been shoved to the back. And I think it's a horrible thing. I still am really in shock that it even happened. But the next time you get a conservative on and mentions class warfare, just tell them that, they better call somebody else because Republicans are trying to ruin anybody lower than the upper middle.
Well, they certainly are. You know, we call them the cheap labor Republicans. And you know, it's that caller we had back just a couple of calls ago. I mean, he's a cheap labor Republican. He resents paying any taxes.
Yeah.
He resents having the workers make any money. You can tell that. And,
he wants an exploitative position. He wants to be king of his little fiefdom.
Absolutely.
And the fact is, you know, you pay to play. This is a society. We have roads. We have electricity. We have stuff that goes on. We choose to have pensions. We choose to have health care. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But you know, without that, we might have had we might not have made it this far, to be perfectly honest.
All we've ever said was that, go ahead, let the corporations make their money, but they have to put a little money aside to keep the environment clean. And you can just watch the news where every river and every part of the Gulf of Mexico that touches Mexico is being polluted.
That's right.
And the last thing about the Chamber of Commerce, you're not going to believe this line. One of the people at the microphone said, I think at long last we're going to have enough workers in this country so that we can keep the jobs here. Translation, the jobs in this country will be every bit as lousy as they are anywhere
else.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Right.
You have to pay all that money.
Right.
Good double talk.
Right.
All
exactly.
Right, thanks for your show.
Hey, Bill, thanks for your call. We really appreciate it. We're going to go to Mango and Sanibel.
Hi, Guy. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Hey, two questions. What you were just talking about there was one of mine. I was kind of torn on this immigration issue. How will the people who work these manual labor jobs or these low-level jobs, and some of these people being, you know, cut out for that type of job, they may not, you know, have what it takes, you know, to move up in the world. How will they get better pay for those jobs if we keep bringing people in?
They won't.
Limited.
They won't.
No,
yeah,
they won't.
That's as simple as that.
That's the idea.
I don't agree with that. I don't know if it's a really Republican or Democratic issue. But the other one, I'd like to see your show do good. I'm registered Republican, but I got a bit of a communist streak in me sometimes.
I'm a registered Democrat with a bit of a socialist streak, so that's okay.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But why do you go by the Guy James moniker? Were you a DJ, and that was your name before? That's what I asked on the forum, but nobody answered back. That's why I used my username.
Because those are my names.
Is that your real name?
Yes.
Well, see, nobody had answered back, but Guy James sounds like a DJ name.
Oh, well.
If you're putting out the truth, I figured you want to use your real name. Get that clarified.
Let me tell you, people, I said those are my names. People play games with their names on the radio, but those are my names. And if you you don't want to get too personal on the radio, you can get yourself killed in an area like this.
Yeah.
So you do need to be a little bit
discreet. You have to think about those things.
Send me an email, and I'll discuss that with you.
All right, guys. Good luck.
Hey, thanks for your call. We do appreciate it. You know, he's right. This Chamber of Commerce thing. Did you see that the other night?
I didn't see it.
I did. Yeah. And the guy was absolutely right. They were grinning from ear to ear. I'm a little torn over that issue. I don't think in one way it's not fair to the folks that came here and did things legally. In another way, I firmly believe in giving folks a chance. I know there's the border problem. It's going to keep on. You know, we're going to become. You know what the second leading income in Mexico is?
What?
Illegal sending money back.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Oil is their first resource, and their second resource for money is illegal sending money back. So you know they'd literally be crippled. They already are. You know their economy is in shambles.
I have mixed feelings about it, too, when it comes to this whole free trade versus fair trade and all that. And you've got, well, who are we to say we deserve those jobs and the people in, let's say, India don't? You know, and that's the kind of ethical or moral dilemma you find yourself in when you don't want to start sounding like Pat Buchanan. You don't necessarily want to start sounding like Ross Perot. But, you know, when Ross Perot said that giant sucking sound, everyone said you're full of it. He wasn't full of it.
No.
He was right.
No.
Okay? And if it makes you sound like a nationalist or it makes you sound like a protectionist, well, you know, I guess the only thing you see is your home. I mean, for the most part, the only thing that really has that much. And, yeah, it starts trending that way.
You know, one of the worst traits of human beings, the way I see it, is selfishness. It is. And yet, I believe we all have we all have some of it. We all need some of it. We can't be completely unselfish. I've always said that the truly great people on this earth are the people who are totally unselfish, your Mother Teresa's and your people like that who as far as I can see, are completely unselfish. And we all know, each of us probably know somebody who is, I spoke to one of my good friends the other night, and
Her husband told me that his mother-in-law was completely, always thought of others. There's an old hymn in Christianity, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live like others. What I'm getting at here, we need a little selfishness, because if we don't have a little bit of it, we do need to take care of ourselves. We do need to take care of our country. And where do we divide it? Yes, the people in India deserve a good life. They deserve jobs. But I guess we have to look out for each other a little bit first. And so where do you split that line? I don't know. I've never resolved that myself.
It's hard to. And I think the one thing I don't agree with, and I can solidly come down against, is the nationless multinational, something that's basically extrajudicial, almost extra nationalistic. The nation state has no control over them once you put these agreements into place, for the most part. That I don't agree with. I mean, you know, they always, even Clinton was pushing this. I want fast track, or I want NAFTA to come through. I don't want to have to do bilateral negotiations. Well, guess what? Bilateral is about the only way you can do it and try to be fair to both parties involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we live in a world that's evolving. And, as we just mentioned, a lot of these jobs have gone to China now. China will catch up with us being more civilized, and they'll have the laws, they'll have the lawyers, they'll have the rules and regulations. That OSHA will be in China someday, and then they'll outsource the jobs to whatever poor country there is on earth. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many years that'll take.
There's just nothing wrong with demanding a safe workplace.
No.
You know,
I just don't see
why people could complain about that unless they just don't care about other people.
Well, the other caller we had, the businessman, would you have, I don't think people think about this when they think about taxes. If you get on an airplane, a government authority made sure that airplane was safe.
Or supposed to.
Supposed to. And do for the main part. If you drive an automobile, the government has helped to make sure that automobile is safer. It would be a death trap. If you go eat in a restaurant, the government helped make sure that your food is safe. You drive on the road, you do this, you do that, no matter what you do practically, has been taxed in some way, and I realize the government's involved, heavily involved in so many things, but, clean air, did we really want to leave it up to Dow Chemical to make sure our air is clean?
No, more rivers would catch on fire.
How many love canals would we be? So, warts and all, I understand that there are problems with all these agencies. There are problems with OSHA. And there are problems with, the environmentalists sometimes being too strict. There are warts and all with these programs, but by and large, they are for the good of society. And if you don't stand for the good of society, you're not my kind of person.
I don't want you in my party.
No, definitely not. And
all right, it's not my party. You know what? Maybe I'll just form my own.
But, selfishness, as I've always said, the Democratic Party is the we party, and the Republicans are the me party, and that's just plain and simple the way I see it. It's black and white. I can't see it any more plain than that. And I think a caller we had a while ago that called us commies, I think he fit perfectly in that category. He's a me person, and like I said, we've all got a little selfishness in us, but we do need to think about others in this world.
Step away from the Gordon Gekko greed is good.
Yeah.
For a minute.
Yeah.
Just a second.
We do need to step away from that now and then. And that's basically the way it is. If the greed has overtaken corporate America, the people at the top have proven that now. Many of them making 1,000 times what the workers make, and all. It's just not right. And the greed has overtaken America. It's just gone too far. So. We do want to thank you for listening to the program today. It's been great having all your calls. We've had some great calls today. We thank all of you listening on the Internet, and we thank all of our local listeners as well. Well, as we always like to say, from Michael,
thank you,
and myself, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Tune in.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive Producer, Gene Charles. Research Director, Michael Merrick. Production Manager, Frank Princeton. Program Coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.